Yet somehow still exactly the same time. We hope you're well rested with the extra hour you gained last night, because tonight you'll need that brain working. We have news to catch up on, report, and make, and it all starts right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 706 of our show for this November the 5th of 20. I almost said November the 2017 of the 5th. Yes, remember the 5th of November or whatever that is. I never even saw that movie. I just heard about it through everybody else. Over there,
you don't know about the actual Guy Fawkes Day?
I've read whatever I read on Wikipedia and then promptly forgot.
Girl.
All right. Hi, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm your resident history nerd.
Yeah, yeah. And enjoying some decaf coffee tonight. And I decided...
My face is burnt now.
I decided to punish Dark Sakura tonight for what, I don't know. But I said, you're going to drink this out of the DC Comics Justice League mug that I have, because she's not a big fan of DC. But then Loki, Techmaster Loki over there, suggested DC is decaf.
So, decaf coffee.
It's DC, decaf mug.
Yes.
Perfect.
And for the record, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Okay.
That's how it goes. So whatever.
All right. Props to your...
And I would not, could not in a train.
Yanni culture. Y'all wouldn't know culture if you got smacked in the face with yogurt.
Remember, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Y'all bitches need culture.
Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts.
Don't let the cat in the hat in your house, because you'll fuck shit up.
And you know what? Fucking banana muffin.
All right. Anyway, hi everybody. We got a busy week. So first, I want to say sorry we weren't here last week, and that was totally my fault. I had no voice at all last week. When I woke up Saturday morning, I had hosted Rocky the night before, and I guess I was a little more extra than usual because it was Halloween after all. And so when I woke up on Saturday, it was literally like this, and I didn't know it. Like, you should have heard, like, ask Alan about how I sounded. It wasn't pretty, and so. You know, I have to make a judgment call on if there's going to be show or no show, because there's not going to be a show. Dark Sakura and Loki should get their evening back. So around 2 o'clock, I was still sounding like this. So I was like, all right, we're not doing a show, because I have to rest my voice because I need it for my job. So sorry, guys, but shit happens. So that's what happened last week. Sadly, we won't be here next week. That was the pre-planned week off because of the long Veterans Day weekend. I'm actually going to be out of town. I'm going to Seattle, so hoping to hit up some gaming-related fun places while I'm up there. I just found out today I'm going to go visit an old
friend.
Play
pinball.
I'm going to visit an old friend from LiveJournal who I've never met before.
What?
She lives in Bellevue, so I get to go over there, which I haven't been to before. But that's... I think that's just a stone's throw away from where where's Nintendo and Microsoft? Redmond?
Redmond.
Yeah, I gotta travel there just to look at an office building, because that's what they are, office buildings. There's nothing that exciting, but at least I can say I went.
You have to go to the Pinball Museum in Seattle.
Is there a Pinball Museum in Seattle?
There is. I'll have to find out where. I'll find you the address.
Yeah, tell me where it is. I wouldn't mind hitting that up, because we did all the big touristy stuff last time we were there. So we've done the Space Needle. We did the EMP. We did all that stuff. So, I mean... We'll probably do some of it again, but I wouldn't mind seeing other parts of Seattle, too. So we'll see. Anyhow, so we got to make this show really good, because it's got to last for a few weeks for people. So sorry about that. You can also, of course, join us live. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, usually right after our pal Bobby Blackwolf. But we're not the only one that's been having issues lately. Bobby's been having internet drama. That's been keeping him offline. He doesn't have enough bandwidth at home, I guess. Something in his neighborhood has screwed something up. And here's my thought, Bobby. Maybe it's somebody's Xbox, because I want to talk about this. So this is some drama that is, like, unfolding on Twitter as we speak, because I had a pretty serious problem today, and it's my Xbox's fault. Now, let me tell you what's going on. So I get online today, and I'm setting up for the show tonight by logging on to VogNetwork.com, but I get a new pop-up window that I don't usually get on VogNetwork.com, and it's Xfinity. And I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. And Xfinity actually popped, which is Comcast, they popped up a thing that said, you are at 90% of your bandwidth for the month. You have used 900 and something gigs out of your 1024 that are available, right? Because everybody has a terabyte of data a month now, right? Like, it used to be like 250, and then it's been slowly climbing up, right? Well, I was like, the fuck? And they're like, for the calendar month. And I'm like, it is the 5th of November, and I've used a terabyte of data this month. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I log into the Comcast website, and sure enough, most months we use about maybe 380 gigs. I think last month there was 410 gigs, but I downloaded Destiny 2 PC last month, right? So it's going to be a little more. So, you know, but usually we use between 300 and 400 gigs, which is pretty impressive considering there's two tech nerds in this house, myself and my husband. I do this radio show on Sunday nights from here, and I've been doing live streaming. So I was like,
and you probably watch Netflix and all that stuff.
Yeah, I binge watched Stranger Things 2 when that first came out. So, you know, there, yeah, we use a lot of technology. But sure enough, it was like you'd use, at this point, it said I'd use like something like 10, 50 gigs or something like that. I was like, what the hell is going on? Well, luckily, my pal Extifer, who you guys remember from Guys on a Show, he bought me as a Christmas present this last year a Google Wi-Fi. So, and the reason why this helps right now is because on Google Wi-Fi, you can, with the phone app, go in and it shows you which devices are connected, what's using bandwidth right now, and you can pull a report for the last 7 days, the last 30 days. So I was like, all right, well, I remembered that. So I was like, I want to see, what is it on my computer? Is it on Alan's computer? Is there an unknown device that's figured out our Wi-Fi password that's downloading all of the porn? Like, what's going on? So I go onto the Google Wi-Fi, and I pull the report, and it says my Xbox has pulled down, I think it's 940 gigabytes in the past 7 days. 940 by itself, the Xbox. I have a 1 terabyte drive on the Xbox One. So I started, of course, obviously I did what anybody does, and I wrote passive aggressive tweets about the situation, tagging Xfinity and tagging Xbox, because I'm sitting here going, the Xfinity website is like, you get charged $10 for every 50 gigs you go over. And I'm like, fuck that. I didn't do anything. So I called, and they told me that you get like 2 courtesy months or something. Like, you get months where you're allowed to go over and they don't penalize you. So this month is going to end up being a courtesy month, I guess, for me.
I mean, I'm going to download all the porn now.
Might as well at this point, right? But I'm still kind of shocked. Like, what the hell happened? So obviously, one thing that's on my mind that I think a lot of people are suggesting on Twitter, because now one of my buddies who runs another podcast that's more popular than this one retweeted like all my tweets. I don't know if he was having the same problems or what, but now I've got all these people that are giving me suggestions, and everybody is kind of saying, well, do you have an Xbox One X? That's the first question I get. The answer is no. I have not changed my Xbox One since Forza Horizon 2 was new, and that was the game that convinced me to get a new Xbox. I bought my Xbox when they just released that 1 terabyte model. So I do have a 1 terabyte Xbox One, but still, why is my Xbox trying to download 940 gigs to my 1 terabyte Xbox One? So I unplugged the fucker. I was like, you're done. I unplugged it. The one thing the Comcast guy suggested I do, which I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of obvious. He said, change your Wi-Fi password. Just make sure nobody else has it. He's like, because I can't see on my end what devices are using your bandwidth. And I'm sitting here going, I just fucking told you it's my Xbox. But I'm like, don't get mad at the call center people. They're just doing their job. So I was like, all right, you know what? Why not? Is changing your Wi-Fi password a bad idea? No, it's not. So I went ahead and did that. So now I plugged back in the Xbox. I'm just not going to give the Xbox the new password, trying to figure out what's going on. And I do notice it's trying to download a 43 gigabyte update for Quantum Break. And I'd heard that Quantum Break was getting a big update, but I don't have a 4K TV. I don't have an Xbox One X. I don't understand why I need it.
Attempted to download it like 20 times?
That's what I think is happening. That it's been attempting. Now, I can't prove this yet, but I don't have a lot of space left on my Xbox One. I filled that thing to the brim, that terabyte. I mean, because I don't usually delete things, because why should I? So it's like 92% full. So I'm wondering if, is it trying to download the Quantum Break update, failing and starting over and over again?
Possibly.
So here's,
it should be smart to see that it can't fit on there, so right? It can't update it. That's what it does on the PlayStation.
That's and that.
Jeez, Microsoft, learn.
But here's the weird thing, you guys. I can't, like, nobody else on Twitter is complaining about this. So I can't sit here and go, Microsoft's got a big problem. This is widespread. Where's the news story on Kotaku alerting everybody about this? Because it does seem like I'm the only guy that this is happening to. But here's my first question, everybody. Would you go look at your bandwidth report for the month? And especially if you have Google Wi-Fi or something similar that'll tell you what your Xbox is doing. And would you let me know if anybody else out there is having this extreme problem that I'm having?
Just makes me glad I never bought one.
I guess, but I mean, I don't know what to think. Like, I want to say I feel bad for Microsoft, but I don't. But it's weird that this is isolated. Like, that's the, and so it makes me wonder, did I do something wrong? But I haven't done anything outside the norm. I barely use my Xbox One for gaming.
It's just a Microsoft device. It likes updating on the fly.
Here's a thought. That maybe you have enough, because, you know, there's a difference between actual size and virtual space, right?
Right.
So it could mean that you have enough in one aspect, but the moment that it's filling up the cache, it's hitting that point where it can't, but it's still reading that you've got room for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you just might be at a sweet spot for that.
Interesting.
Or in this case, a sour spot.
Well, I'm going to go look at some comments in chat because everybody's playing Armchair IT, which when you get a bunch of nerds together, that's what's going to happen.
Not me. I'm not at work.
So in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, because again, we do tape live 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. So, and Bobby, thank you very much. Bobby Blackwolf did make it to chat tonight, and he says he fixed the web chat. So if live.vognetwork.com wasn't working for you before, it might now because he changed the web app. So hopefully it'll work again. Thanks, Bobby. Speaking of Armchair IT, let's see. I'm looking in chat. Tiger Claw says, when you leave your Xbox One in an instant on mode, whenever you get one of those free Xbox One games, it'll automatically download them too. So it's best to have power saving mode enabled. I've never had a game download that I didn't tell it to. Like, I will go into the Xbox Gold membership thing and download but I've never had the Xbox just say, surprise, we delivered you a game. So I don't have that setting on. I have had it update games, but usually you want that, right? Isn't that what PlayStation Plus had as a feature when it first launched, was auto-updating games?
Yeah, I mean, that's what PlayStation does now, but, like, if I don't have space for the update, It knows. It's like, well, this isn't going to fit, so we're not updating. Mm.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I think the Xbox One actually has a thing in settings that shows its data usage. A, I can't find it, but probably B, because for it to do anything, it wants to go online. And I'm sure, as you all can sympathize right now, I don't want to put my Xbox One back online. Although, I guess if this month is going to be a wash anyway, maybe now's the time to do it when I can sit there and watch it. But I'd prefer to know at least a little bit about what I'm doing before I put it back online, if that makes sense. Maybe I can tell. I bet through Google Wi-Fi, I bet I can let it go online, but, like, throttle it. I think Google Wi-Fi lets you do that. I think you can say this device can use no more than X amount of data per second or something. So maybe that's what I'll do. I got to say, the winner in this whole scenario is Google Wi-Fi. So props to that, because that helped me figure out what it is. So that when people on the internet are like, are you sure you didn't get hacked? Are you sure it's or how do you know it's your Xbox? It's like, I got the receipts. Receipts. I has them. Here they are. All right. Yeah. Cork A in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com says, go for the high score. Why not? Why not? Even though I kind of promised him I wasn't going to do that, but there you go. All right. So, yeah, some folks in chat. SSGO 100 Matt says, I'm only seeing I use 15 gigs. Tiger Claw says, I'm only using 49 gigs.
Well,
so
good for
so
y'all.
Yeah, I know. So that, but that's the weird. Those guys have Xbox Ones. And so what is unique about my situation? I don't know. I can't figure it out. But I can tell you it's trying to download an update for Quantum Break and Forza. And I put all the screenshots on my Twitter, twitter.com/SkySKIE, if you want to continue to play Armchair Warrior. I tagged Xbox in all these posts, so maybe Xbox support will fire me back something. But I don't, like, here's the thing at the end of the day. I don't particularly care if my Xbox is going to download all of this data. I care that I'm going to get charged for it. So, and especially if this isn't just happening to me. You know what I'm saying?
Really, just fuck Comcast, because that's really the problem. Because if you had unlimited bandwidth, as we should all, it wouldn't even be an issue.
That's true. That's true. So there's, you know, but I also think the system, the Xbox should be smart enough that, like, there should be some type of internal trigger that when it's used 100 gigabytes in a month or 200 gigabytes in a month, it should pop up a window going, I'm eating a lot of data and this is why. Do you want to continue? Like, at least give me the option to put, because I would have never known this was happening if that pop-up from Xfinity. So to Comcast credit, if they hadn't put a pop-up that said you've used 90% of your
data. Hey, it looks like that you've used a lot of data. Would you like me to download some more data for you? Says Clippy.
There you go. So that's the drama I've been dealing with. So stay tuned for potentially an update in 2 weeks. But for right now, the Xbox One is sitting in the corner. It is not allowed to have the new Wi-Fi password. That is the punishment.
Grounded, damn it.
You're grounded and you're not getting the Wi-Fi password. That is what's happening. Loki and Darkstalker got the new Wi-Fi password, but the Xbox did not get the Wi-Fi password.
Well, now that I know that I can download as much as I want, I'm downloading all the porn right now, so it's fine.
Like Corke said earlier in chat, go for the high score. Why not? Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, does Xbox have a beta thing, Xbox Insider or something? You know what? For the sake of transparency, yes, they do, and I'm in it. So is that is the problem because my console's doing something in a beta mode, which I understand Microsoft's going to wash their hands of liability if that thing happened or
no,
whatever.
No, that's just usually just means it downloads more frequent system updates.
980 gigs of updates?
Could. I mean, but I doubt it would keep doing that, though.
Yeah.
Because usually it would just download, you know, the latest one.
Brad from Pod Culture says, you have the Xbox on Wi-Fi? That has to be rough on gaming. No. Right now, because the PlayStation 4 moved into my office so I could do streaming from the PlayStation 4, my Xbox One has become the CBS so I can watch Star Trek Discovery device, Netflix for when I binge watched Stranger Things 2 when we weren't here last week device. So it's been kind of my main media device.
Maybe it's Star Trek Discovery's fault.
Did Star Trek Discovery break my Xbox?
Maybe it did.
Perhaps. I don't know. But all those things have been running fine and great quality. I don't have 4K. My television isn't 4K, so I wasn't downloading like 4K Stranger Things, but still. And again, that was all technically October because I watched that Stranger Things like in the first 3 days. You guys, it is so good. It is so good.
Stranger Things in 4K?
Except for episode 7. Fuck episode 7, but the rest of them is fine.
Which one was episode 7?
The one that was... Without spoiling...
The backdoor pilot.
The backdoor pilot.
Oh, yeah. That little... I don't know. I liked the main person in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too.
A lot. Plus, I liked the makeover.
Yeah.
Because it was
We have to keep it...
I know. Plus, it was all MTV.
Some people are very hyper about spoilers. And yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
When do we get to spoil the shit out of Stranger Things? I guess we have to give it a good 60 days, huh?
2018?
Or not. Yeah, I don't know.
Too soon.
Anyway, I guess also that's kind of the department of Critical Myth, Pod Culture, the more TV-based shows on our network to get into. We're usually here to talk about games. I do want to talk about games. So the kickoff topic I did want to talk about was I wanted to talk a little bit about digital distribution. Now, this is a topic that's come up on our show before, but I don't know if you guys heard about this week, but there were some major earnings calls that happened in this past week. Activision, EA, they do their quarterly stockholder calls, right? Because at the end of the day, companies like EA, Activision, they exist what? To make money. To make who money? To make their shareholders money. And that's why people talk about investing in the stock market, right? America 101. There you go. Okay.
Right.
So every quarter, these companies have to basically produce, you know, they have to update their shareholders on what they're doing. So Activision did an earnings call in this past week where they said 50% of Destiny 2's sales on consoles came via download rather than a retail disc. Now, I would have believed that if we were talking the PC numbers only, because I would have thought, oh, there's a ton of people that probably just do digital on PC because of storefronts like Battle.net and so forth, and that there's people that are buying Destiny with Warcraft gold, because you can do that the way things are set up on Battle.net. But no, that factor is for, I guess, all of it. Or for the consoles, specifically.
I buy everything digitally for the most part.
Yeah, and I guess this is getting bigger and bigger. Earlier this year, EA said they expect 40% of their console game sales to come from downloads in 2017. That is a jump up 10% from where they were at 30% of sales in 2016. EA has gone on record before saying, quote, they're going to be 100% digital company, period. It's going to be there someday. It's inevitable.
No, and I don't think that's going to be the case because here's the problem. Yes, it's a nice idea to have it all digital and everything, but if everybody goes all digital, remember, there's that wonderful company, Comcast, that has those wonderful bandwidth caps that will fuck you over
right?
if you try to download everything. So that's why it will never be that way, because fucking net neutrality and all that shit is not in the picture because those companies want to make money too. So because you have that, and also because, and this is very important, these same fucking companies keep pushing these stupid collector's editions and shit with giant statue editions. You can't digitally download those.
You can't digitally download a statue.
You wouldn't want to digitally download a statue.
Correct. Okay. So you think there's still going to be a market for physical stuff, but it's going to be kind of limited. It's going to be like...
they do it now. They like, and they can still do digital distribution, but they do it now where they have editions. It's collector's editions that don't include the game. Why?
I know.
Why would you do that?
So, well, is it because they expect that people are going to download to play Hour Zero digitally? So this is just literally a box of shit with the game's branding on it?
I mean, like for me, like if I'm looking forward to a game and I want to play it day one, I'm not going to pre-order because that means I got to drive out to the store to go pick it up and do all that nonsense. Whereas I can digitally pre-order it or download it. I'm not pre-ordering shit, but I'll digitally order it like the day before or something like that, and it'll unlock at 9 p.m. the night before it comes out.
That's what I did with Destiny 2 on PC, is that I bought it like 2 days before it launched, so it would be all loaded and ready to go. But with Destiny 2, I knew if I walked into a store and bought it on a box, all I was going to get, maybe I was going to get a Blu-ray or DVD with the game, but it was likely going to be a code. And a game like that is so much online anyway, you're going to get some code for your online access. So there's no reason to really have the physical edition. Whereas, here's my thing. I guess I've had the hardest time buying into this digital stuff because I'm still this big believer of, well, when you buy a game on a disc or on a cartridge, let's say Mario Odyssey on the flip side of things, I have a cartridge for that. And if someday I decide I'm sick of Mario Odyssey, which I doubt is going to happen, but we'll get into that later, I could sell that cartridge.
Yeah.
Or I could loan that. What happened to that? We just all
it's because I'm lazy and because two things. One, I'm lazy, so I don't want to have to worry about selling that cartridge or whatever. And it depends on the system. Like if I had a Switch, there's not a lot of onboard storage for that. Then yes, physical copies are going to be more appealing to me. Whereas I've got 500 gigabytes of space on my PlayStation 4, so I can download a bunch of games at once and I don't have to worry about swapping discs out and stuff like that. Not to say that I don't buy disc versions of games. I do sometimes. It's just not all the time. Usually I'm getting stuff on sale. But, you know, with that, there's also another factor. GameStop is not going to really be happy with them going all digital. They've tried to do it in the past. They've tried to say that they're going to go all digital. Never going to happen because it's such a big monster. And they control the industry, okay? So they're not going to – it's not going to happen. They're never going to be fully digital because there's people that want physical versions of the game. There's going to be GameStop and other big retailers that's a big chunk of their money. Well, GameStop, it's most of their money, so they're not going to just give that up quietly. And bandwidth caps, you're not going to be able to do that. Plus internet speeds, because as these games get bigger and bigger with the 4K content, that's more data that you're dumping down the tubes, and it's going to take a lot longer to download, especially with all these internet companies fighting to upgrade their service.
I wanted to get to Dark Sakura's perspective, but real quick, I wanted to mention I was noticing a lot of parallels maybe with the music industry. You know, 10 years ago with the invention of the iPod or whatever and you know, just the fact that a lot of people were pirating their music with things like Napster or whatever, Apple kind of came up with this method to legitimize it. A lot of other people kind of went on that as well. But anyway, my point is a lot of record stores are gone because of it. Tower Records, gone. The warehouse, gone. All these big record stores I remember from my youth, they're gone. Now that's left are indie niche places. You know, like we have a local chain here, Dimple. You know, they seem to do pretty well because –
they also expand to books and movies.
Yeah, that's true. They've also expanded to books and movies. And I noticed, what's the music that people seem to be buying these days?
Vinyl.
Exactly. Like, and it's kind of that collector's edition stuff.
I found a place downtown because I was, when I had to get my window replaced on my Fiat, and I was at this little place at like 16th and E,
mm-hmm.
and walked around down E to go have breakfast at this little place called Shine. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there? But
right.
on the way there, there's like this little like thrift store, but it was all full of fucking vinyl.
Hmm.
Nothing but vinyl in a thrift store.
Yeah. And speaking of, I'm going on this trip to Seattle, and I remember one of the things I bought on my last trip to Seattle. This is like seriously one of my prized possessions. This is my copy of ABBA's The Visitors, my favorite album from one of my favorite bands,
probably my favorite band ever.
You did.
I got you Super Trooper.
You got me Super Trooper, but this is the one that I got in Seattle at Pike Place Market at a very similar store. It was like a thrift store, but it was all vinyl. And I was like, do they have ABBA? ABBA, ABBA, ABBA. And then they had The Visitors. Which
what's
is my
that place
album.
In San Francisco on Market near Castro?
Is that Rasputin?
Yeah, I think it's Rasputin because that's used to where I would go to buy Laserdiscs.
Yeah.
Like, I found my Wizard of Oz Laserdisc there. It's like two places down from like the Brody Salon, but it's like right there at Market and Castro.
JD regrets to inform us they closed.
Sad.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat saying, I buy new albums on vinyl now and get the free MP3 download for the USB stick in my car. So
I only have a handful of albums. I have a copy of Rubber Soul because that was my favorite Beatles album.
Mm-hmm.
I have Gorilla's Demon Days, which I have it unopened.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need a quick 500 bones, I could sell it because it's a first printing.
Mm-hmm.
I have two Weird Al albums. I have Even Worse, and then I have Mandatory Fun because we got him to sign it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even own a record player. So the only reason I own that ABBA on vinyl is because it is a relic of the time period from which that album came out. And that record was likely used to play that music. You know what I mean? Like, it's more the collector thrift store kind of atmosphere of it. It's very hard to explain, but I bet a lot of you that have bought vinyls probably understand. It's more the fact that, you know, I own something of that time period that is that album.
I almost bought a Panasonic record player at that place.
Well, the record player's
coming
back.
You know why?
Anyway, let me.
It had an 8-track player.
We're getting too far into music, which, you know, I know a lot of us love music. But Jamie, what are your thoughts quickly on the digital versus, especially because you've been a big collector, but I don't know how much you guys have embraced digital, but what's kind of your thoughts when you hear EA saying, we're going to be 100% digital company?
Okay. I kind of don't care.
Okay, if it wasn't EA saying it, what about Activision?
Still don't care
because
probably even less so.
How many, like, well, look at all of the like World of Warcraft, look at Overwatch, look at all that, right? Those are already digital only pretty much.
Right.
I mean, you used to be able to get discs for them, but computers aren't even built with DVD drives anymore. You know? I'm like this. My thought is that if I download a game that I want to keep badly enough, I'm going to copy those files off to external media and have an archive. I do that anyway with my stuff. You know, my, for example, I mean, my iTunes directory, right? It's all housed on an external drive. I manage that shit myself. My games are exactly the same way. I have two internal drives, one of them that's for all of my games, and it's marked so that I can take it out and put it in an enclosure if I want to. And I have my 3-terabyte drive that I save all of my save files to. So.
And the point of all this is that the PSP Go was just ahead of its time. Really? Wasn't it?
No. I mean,
it was ahead of something.
I don't think it had a lot of onboard storage. And the problem with the PSP Go is their stupid proprietary memory stick shit. That's also the other thing that kind of hurt the Vita is because they want to charge extra for their proprietary memory stick format so that they can make more money. It's all about greed. That's the other thing about these companies saying, oh, we're going 100% digital. Do you really want them to be the only source of being able to purchase those files? Because if they go all digital, that means that there's no competition anymore because they're selling their game on one storefront and that's it. And there's not a chance that you're going to get it on sale. I mean, they do sales every now and then, but, you know, it's a lot more prevalent with physical versions. So just, and plus they're fucking lame with their fucking, you know, microtransaction bullshit that they're piecing shit apart. That's where they're making most of their money digitally, is from that shit, and not necessarily, I don't think, selling digital copies.
So, Orange Lounge Radio, we do like to say we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and in an effort to kind of expand that and get more voices on our show, tried something new this week and went to our Discord with this topic. Again, you can join us on Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. That will get you the invite you need to get on there. You don't need a special code outside of that. Just go to vognetwork.com/Discord. And I asked our members on Discord their opinions on this. Let me read you some of the answers from Discord. Corke said, I buy digital games when they're cheaper or when they're PC games that are just a code in a box. I've never owned a current gen console, so paying $60 for a game and trading it in after isn't something I've been able to do. I do sell old games on eBay to pay for my gaming habit, but it's a fairly rare occurrence. Evil G will probably be a general geek culture store like it's slowly transitioning to. My local one is probably one-third ugly Funko Pops and clothing. I think, you know what, speaking of the Funko Pops, and look, I own a few of them myself, admittedly. I have the Golden Girls Funko Pops. I have a Winston from Overwatch sitting there, but we really need to draw the line on those things. Like, those fuckers are everywhere.
I found them at a thrift store.
I'm kind of over it, you guys. Like, we need something new. Like, Funko Pops are losing cool points.
Let people love what they love.
You're right. You spend your hard-earned money on whatever you want, but it's crazy going into, like, half the stores in the mall have an entire wall dedicated to it, and it's like, do we need that many Funko Pops? Maybe that's...
You haven't seen my cube.
How many Funko Pops do you have in your cube at work? Too many to count.
No, I know what I have. I have a baby Groot. I have a regular Groot.
I don't need the whole inventory. Just a number.
No, I'm actually going through it. That's 5 on that one.
All right, while you count. 6, 7. Dar Tetsuya talking
11 in my cube.
Thank you. Dar Tetsuya talking about, I'm not super into mainstream AAA titles, but I definitely prefer physical whenever I can. A lot of indie publishers are doing physical releases for their upcoming Switch titles. Like, I believe Limited Run Games is starting to do that. Maybe I'm old school, but I just like seeing my game collection on the shelf. And with physical releases, sometimes you get extras, like Mighty No. 9 came with a poster and art book. It's just not the same as a downloadable PDF, in my opinion.
But also, Mighty No. 9 came with Mighty No. 9, so, you know, you have that, too.
Stop. You know, the thing with the physical releases on Switch, though, as cool as that is, a lot of them are coming way after the game is released. And it's not like I don't ever buy digital games. Like, sure, I buy $20 indie games on Switch, on PlayStation, and so forth. Sure, I buy those, but that's because they're $20 games. They're not $60 games that I might want to sell and try to get, like, $15 of it back someday. I don't know. Other comments, JD in our Discord saying, I prefer digital, but I'll buy whatever's cheaper unless there's a strong reason for one or the other. I like digital because you can't lose the cartridge and stuff tied to your account is good for data recovery. But now that we have two Switches, being able to pass a cartridge back and forth means my husband can play games without buying a second copy. And Tiger Claw over on Discord said, most people prefer physical. Well, That may not be what EA's telling us, but anyway, because digital has its limitations, such as you running out of hard drive space or when a digital game is removed from the store, which would prevent you from ever buying it. Oh, that's true, bringing up the point of delisting of games, like the PT demo. That's different because you didn't buy that, but I bet a lot of people would have bought that. But anyway, you can't get that anymore.
Right.
So, you know, there's certain things that get delisted. Microsoft has this a lot. Rock Band songs get delisted, you know, and that's just part of the rights or whatever goes with that. Anyway, thanks you guys over on Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Let's see, going to some other comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator says, with me being a PC gamer for 5 years now, I'm pretty damn good at finding all the sales and deals, right, Rob? Yeah, I mean, obviously you call into the show a lot with those deals, but again, and I've said this a lot on OLR, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but this is my perspective on this, is that when you buy a cartridge or something, now you have something that has value. And sometimes that value goes way up, like Dark Sakura's copy of, what is it, like Symphony of the Night on Saturn or something. What is one of those games that goes up in value?
Yeah, that one might be it.
The more you own it. Right. Or like you just mentioned, your Gorillaz album, you know, went up to so much money. You know, sometimes the value may go up. If you are lucky enough to own a copy of fucking, what is it, like Chrono Trigger on a cartridge still. That's still worth a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. There's
or like, Final Fight Guy.
There's the value in your game.
Ninja Gaiden Trilogy.
But if the game is cheap enough where you're like, eh, I don't need any return on this investment. I'm good spending $5 to get a copy of Civ 4 and all the expansions on a Steam sale. Then for that, that's kind of worth it to most people because you know you're getting a game that's probably worth much more than that. So you're not looking at the resale value. It's a big reason why I think Humble Bundles have done so well, right? So
probably.
Anyway, thank you, Dungeon Buster, naming some of the big collector's items. I'm trying to think of Panzer Dragoon Saga,
Radiant
Silver Gun, Black Label Final Fantasy VII.
Have it.
So.
And I actually traded my original U.S. Dragon Ball GT Final Bout. For what was that game? Blue Stinger. And you know what? It really isn't worth all that much money anymore. Magical Chase is worth some money because it was the last U.S. Turbo Duo game.
And just to be fair, Kaijudo in chat says, I don't collect Funko, but I still love them. I love watching how happy people get on YouTube when they find their pops. Fine. I didn't mean to crap on your fandom. If you love your Funko Pops, and more power to you. Just every store, you guys. See, have you been to a mall lately? They're in like every store.
They have a whole bunch half off at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yesterday. I guess people are buying them for a reason.
SSJ100 Matt pointed it out. Dragon Ball GT Final Bout went down way when they re-released it.
Mm.
So it's, I mean, but one of the games that never lost any value was Rondo of Blood.
Mm.
Dracula X Rondo of Blood.
Didn't Suikoden 2 kind of fall in value when they finally put it out on PlayStation 3?
I think maybe a little bit, but...
A little, but not a lot.
But I mean, you know, if anyone wants to give me $500, by the way, you can have a copy of Ninja Gaiden Trilogy. Just saying. In the box.
You've been trying to get rid of that for like a year.
We just didn't put it on eBay again.
All right.
We could probably get money for it. I mean, we could at least get $350 for it, I'm sure.
All right. Well, okay. We've had enough talk about the digital distribution. Is that well? Let me just quickly kind of ask this question because I asked this to Discord. In 5 years, where are we at with digital distribution? Is it 100% of the industry? Is it 80% of the industry? Just quickly, let me go around the room. Where is this industry at in 5 years of digital distribution, Loki?
60%.
That seems very conservative.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 75. 75%? That's not accounting then for the 25% that'll be pretty much all collector's items. Collector's editions.
This is not where I want it to be, but I'm going to say 90% with the 10% being collector's edition, the vinyls of video games, basically.
I think that we're going to, though, see a good number of like actual brick and mortar stores going. Because yeah, it's all going to be online.
I think GameStop's in big trouble. I really do.
GameStop is going to go the way, if they don't change their business model, they're going to go exactly the way that like our Blockbusters did and all that. Because digital really is. And on top of that, you know, it's really, I think, what's a good word? Attractive for the manufacturers because that's less in materials they have to pay, less labor they have to pay, less in shipping. They can put that money into advertising and for digital content instead. And actually throttle the sales of it if they run, you know, hit a particular license number. All they have to do is just generate more licenses for it. So they're not, the supply will always be there to meet the demand.
All right. We'll probably dive into this topic again. I think this is something that is going to be following our industry for a little while. If you want to say something longer, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, we're going to talk about our gaming weeks because really it's been 2 weeks since we've been here. So let's talk a little bit about some of the games we've been playing this week, some of the notable highlights. Dark Sakura, what have you been playing this week?
Idle Pouring, Pokemon Go, Miitomo. I started Dragon Age Inquisition again because I fucking love that game. I should be playing Danganronpa V3, but my Dragon Age fire got lit under me by a dragon. What else was I playing? A little bit of Ragnarok Online. And then I got a Switch and three games. I acquired it.
Now, this is interesting because when I saw this on your Facebook, which, by the way, I still need to, like, add you on Switch. I figured you would have just found me through the 3DS connection.
Dan played it more than me already.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll add each other eventually. But I assumed you bought one. My assumption was, oh, Mario Odyssey broke them. They finally got a Switch. But you won it.
I wasn't really supposed to say much about that.
Oh, sorry.
But since no one knows where I work.
Right.
So I did win it in a raffle.
Okay.
I was keeping it off social media for a reason.
Oh, sorry about that.
So, okay. Because some people do know where I work.
Ah.
But I did win it in a raffle. They were doing cupcakes at work. And I said, you know what? I don't want a cupcake. Well, I wanted a cupcake, but I was being good. And I put my name in the raffle. One ticket in the raffle. Next thing I know, look what you got! Wow. So I have a Switch. I had a Joy-Con with it in three games.
Well, and there's no shame in that, for the record. This is very common for any corporation to do employee appreciation. I see my own company's giving away iPads. So, you know, this is common.
But I still
fair enough,
said
fair
I wasn't going to say anything sorry. About it. But it's okay. So, yeah. I have ARMS. I have Breath of the Wild. And I have Mario Kart 8. And we are going to put in our order for Odyssey coming up. And it's been fun, but Dan decided he was going to take over and play through Mario Kart 8. And then he got the demo for Puyo Puyo Tetris, because one of the things is that I read Japanese like maybe a semi-literate five-year-old. So going through Puyo Puyo Tetris on PS4 was an adventure. And we eventually figured it out to where we could play against each other and all that. But Dan's like, I can play it in English now. Meh. Like, okay.
So here's the beauty of a cartridge-based world. Do you want to just borrow my copy? Because I rarely play it.
Sure.
Yeah, if you guys really want to play it, just borrow my copy. Just bring it back.
What? This eventually. Is like totally PlayStation 4 type stuff here. You mean I can swap games without having to switch codes and being part of my family network?
OMG.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
That'll
be my makeup for blabbing.
Okay. But at any rate, It's been fun. The setup was super easy. I had forgotten my password, but I could change it through Miitomo because it's linked to my Nintendo account.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I just put the picture up, got requests already, and I was like, hey, this is sweet. So we played a little bit of it, but that means that I'm going to start Breath of the Wild on my own and not play over Dan's game, which is on Wii U.
Nice.
So we have two copies of the same game on different systems.
But it'll be interesting. Now you kind of spot those little differences, maybe.
Probably won't be much in the way of differences, because I don't think the Switch is that much more graphically advanced than the Wii U was.
I don't think so either.
Everything looked really pretty, though, on our TV, because we have a 4K TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all clean and pretty. And
yeah, but Switch is only outputting a 1080 top.
Yeah.
It's all about using the emulator to play that game. Because then you can output some really good graphics.
I did, however, look into the Breath of the Wild emulator that they've got out there. They're basically, it's a Wii U emulator, but tweaked for Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And so I've seen, I've actually gone on this kind of thing for looking to see how the world was built, because I'm very interested in stuff like that. I mean, you remember me in World of Warcraft when we'd go do something and I'd stay in the instance to just explore.
Yeah.
So stuff.
You like to go do screenshots and stuff. You were big on that, I remember.
Yeah. I haven't figured out how to do anything like that in Final Fantasy 14, which I got my account fixed. And once I decide if I want to get the collector's edition for Stormblood, then, because that's still $60.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got drag queens coming up. Hey, I'm buying both mine and Becky's tickets.
Oh.
I've got to pay her back for them. Yeah. But yeah.
That's coming up in like 2 weeks.
It is.
Yeah, crazy.
And that weekend will be after I have... I'm not talking about that on the show either. I'll tell you later.
Okay. More secrets. All right.
This one's a big secret, but you know what it is.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Anything else for your gaming week?
I like cheese.
Okay. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play anything that I said I was going to play.
What?
Yeah, I know. I got lazy, so... Oh, well, I did end up playing a little bit of Minecraft on Windows 10 the other day. Just check that out. I really haven't played that in a long time, so it was a little bit different. And then, what else? I played some more of the stupid idle clicker game for office space just because it's the thing to do. And I don't think there's much else. It was mostly updates. I had got everything because I wanted to play VR, and I was actually going to go do that the other day. I had everything set up, and then all my controllers were dead. So I was like, God damn it. So I finally charged everything, but I still never got around to actually playing it again. But I have everything ready to go now, so I can bust out some VR games from the PlayStation VR hopefully very soon and get all that stuff out of the way, because I have like 4 or 5 games that I've purchased that I've been meaning to actually get to, but I haven't gotten to yet. So there's that. And then what else? Just reinstall some games on Steam to do that as well. It's going to go play through some of that backlog stuff finally, because there's stuff on there. I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot I had that. So, yeah, that's it.
All right. My gaming week. I have a lot to catch up on. So I was a bit of a sheep, I guess some of you want to call me, and I got an iPhone X. But before you bring the sheep emojis at me, here's the thing. I use my phone more than any other device, and the phone I was using was 3 years old. So you know what? I'm worth it. I earned it. I got the iPhone X, and it is a
treat yourself.
Treat yourself. So, and it is a nice piece of hardware. So I'm a fan so far. I think the Animojis are kind of dumb, but Jamie did laugh when I sent her the unicorn talking. So
I finally listened to it when I got home because I was at work.
Yeah.
But it popped up on, I'm looking at my Messenger right now, and it pops up on my Mac.
Oh, right.
So, and it actually saves them as little movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can quite literally drag it out to my desktop.
Mm-hmm. That's
like I could with all of those Retzko stickers I got.
That's how I put one on Twitter. I sent it to Alan, even though he doesn't have an iPhone. I sent it to him, and it just sent him a video, but I saved it to my own phone, and then I posted it to Twitter.
Yeah.
So I was able to post. I post something stupid on Twitter.
Why can't you just directly share those to social media, Apple?
You might be able to. I just didn't look into it. So, but the Animoji isn't a separate program. That's why
it's built into the Messenger.
Yeah. So it's But anyway,
but if you're using SMS, it converts it to a video format.
I did not buy the phone to be a talking unicorn. And yes, I picked the unicorn because everybody else is picking the poop, which is stupid. So I'm the unicorn, which is awesome. So anyway,
and the first thing that comes out of this unicorn, hey girl, I'm like. Oh, Rob.
No lies detected. So yeah. Anyway, I've been playing more Pokemon Go on that because it runs so good. And as a congratulations on your dumb new phone gift, Alan got me a gacha, which is like the Pokemon Go Plus, but you don't even have to push the fucking button. You just walk and it plays the game for you, which is awesome.
Yes, it's so easy. It's just, you know Regina connection.
My Apple Watch will do that.
Yeah. Well, oh, does but you don't even like? Do you have to tap the Apple Watch? You have to.
I haven't honestly played with my Apple Watch. You used to have to tap it.
Yeah.
But I think you there's like you can do a setting on it now. But the thing that I like about having Pokemon Go on my Apple Watch though is that I don't have to have my phone out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just walk around.
Kassin in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says my computer is over 9 years old. Guess that means I should buy an AMD Vega. Sure, go for it.
Treat yourself.
You deserve it. If you can afford it, do it.
Slay, mama.
Like, if you're surprised that that's my answer, then maybe you don't understand why I got the phone.
Enabler.
SSG100 Matt says, I was going to ask, how fast does Pogo play on the X? I feel like it's the way
10.
It's supposed to be. I can't help but say X. Anyway, Mortal Kombat.
You can help it.
Mortal Kombat ruined it for me.
All right. Final Fantasy ruined it for you.
Final Fantasy ruined it for me.
You can help it.
All right, anyway. So anyway, other stuff I've been playing, not just on the new phone. I have been playing more Heroes of the Storm. Like, that is like my online game right now. I am still playing a crap ton of Heroes of the Storm.
I'll play it with you. I love that game. I suck at it.
Yeah, it's all like 90% of what I play is AI just to do my quests. But I will say I finally just – I like sucked it up and I was like, okay, I'm getting pretty good with Morales, who's a healer character. And I was like, I'm feeling like I got a good energy with her. I got MVP in a game. So I was like, I'm going to try a real game with Morales. And I did, and I went in the real game, and we won. And the toxic Heroes of the Storm community, even complimented me on my healing. So now my ego's like, woo, I could do this. I'm going to be a Heroes of the Storm champion because I'm the Morales King. Woo. So now I'm playing more online. So it's, so I'm playing a little bit more. I'll do the quest to kind of screw around with other characters and stuff. But then if I'm going to play a hero I'm really comfortable with, I have been doing more quick matches. So that's been a little bit of that. But I want to talk about new games I've been playing. So I didn't get to talk about them last week. So now I can talk about them this week after I've played them more. I've been playing Destiny 2 on PC. So I bought that and I started playing that when it came out. And I got to tell you guys, that game is gorgeous. It looks so good. Now, I'm not able to play 4Ks, okay? I didn't buy the AMD Vega that I just told Kasson to go buy, okay? So I have a video card that's a couple years old. So I can't play in 4K, but I can play in some resolution that's like 1440. So it's a little higher than 1080p, just ever so slightly. But like,
isn't that like 2K?
I think it might be 2K, but it looks so good. So yeah, I'm and just like the environments in Destiny 2 are a lot more varied than they were in the first game. So I just, yeah, the game looks awesome. But it's fun to play too. I'm not usually huge on first person shooters, but with Destiny being a little bit more like, I don't want to say like RPG-ish, but that's kind of how it feels when you have quests, you have other things to do. And the fact that people can drop in and out, like your buddy Crystal has been playing matches with me on PC, and Crystal will join matches and we'll just go like do stuff. And then it's like, okay, we did a quest, I got to go, you know? So it's, I like that whole like drop in and out that you can help other people type of thing. That's really cool. And then my buddy Delvin, shout out Video Game Realness, my pal over there who hosts that show. He was playing with me on some matches as well. And we were both swooning over Sniper Daddy. So there it is. So Destiny, I'm liking way more than I thought I would. And again, the visuals, at least on PC. Now, I haven't been playing it on console, so I couldn't tell you how it compares. But it looks so good on PC. But again, you want to make sure you have a video card that can at least handle it. But mine's a couple years old and is doing okay. And if you're going to be that guy that goes get that brand new AMD card, then hey, I bet 4K is going to look gorgeous. So there you go. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I've heard a lot of good things about Destiny 2's optimization from PC people. There's no frame rate cap. So I probably could play on 4K, but my frame rate would be like 20. So by dipping it down a little bit, like I'm able to have a really smooth experience and I really, really like it. So JD says, Sniper Daddy. Yes. I don't want to give too many spoileries away, but in the first area, the guy that you kind of turn quests into is a Sniper Daddy, and he's voiced by, here's the thing, he's voiced by Gideon Emery, who Balthier and
Fenris
12. Yeah, Fenris. And the thing is that Gideon Emery
gravelly
never changes his voice for the characters, but there's a reason for that. Everybody is just fine with the voice that God gave him. So there's that. Just give me a character name so I can Google fan art. I don't remember the character's name. I've been calling him nothing but Sniper Daddy. Somebody in chat knows the name. Help JD and I out. I don't remember the name of the character. That's kind of embarrassing. All right. One other game that I've been playing an awful lot of is not as much as some of my friends because I haven't beat it yet, but I feel like I'm getting really close. Super Mario Odyssey on the Nintendo Switch. I bought that game when it came out, and I've been playing quite a bit of Super Mario Odyssey, and you guys, I love it. It's just like, if you don't like Super Mario Odyssey, I would really want to know the whys, because I just feel like there's just so much fun, and Super Mario Odyssey just makes me smile. Now, I don't want to spoil too bad, but there was one part in the game in particular, like everybody knows from the trailers, New Donk City, right? So those that have played the game will know that there's a certain moment in the New Donk City when you're playing it, when there's a celebration of sorts, and everybody that's played the game is gonna know what I'm talking about here. So like, when I was going through that whole sequence, I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, there's just, this is how playing video games should feel all the time, every time. This is a fucking delight, what I'm doing right now. And I wish every video game felt like this. And that's where I'm at with Super Mario Odyssey. Are there small nitpicky imperfections I could maybe get into about the game? Sure. It looks a little, I think it looks cheaper when it's off the dock than it does in the dock. Like, I noticed some of the problems and some of the frame rate issue. But honestly, it's so fucking minor, it doesn't matter, because the game is extraordinarily fucking fun. And that is, like, I just love that when I go into a new level, like, all of a sudden there'll be some dippy new mini game that's so adorable that I'll have to play. Like, I just went to Snow World, and the little racing thing you have to do is these fat little walruses that you have to little bloop, bloop. You have to, like, bounce because you're a fat fucking walrus, and you have to bounce around. It's so adorable, and
like
I love
it. Well, you do like your Tuskars.
I do. So Mario Odyssey kind of has their version of that, and it's super adorable. Dark Tetsuya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, like Breath of the Wild did for the Zelda games. Yeah, actually, Mario Odyssey feels a lot like Breath of the Wild in some ways. Now, not totally. I mean, there's a little more structure to it. You go from zone to zone, but like the freedom to do whatever you want in those zones, or let's look behind this wall because there might be a moon.
It's just like Mario 64.
It is. And honestly, it's the most Mario 64. It's probably the best Mario game since Mario 64. And I even thought at the time Mario 64 was kind of overrated, but that's because I had a very hard time shifting from 3D to 2D. And I think a lot of gamers of a certain age kind of went through this. So Mario 3D was a little harder for me to get into at the time. And I believe me, guys, I loved Mario Sunshine. I loved Mario Galaxy. I think Mario Galaxy was my game of the year that game came out. Odyssey is even better. Like, this is Mario at the top of his game, and I couldn't be happier. Like, I just, if you own a Switch, you're getting this game. Done. Like, there's no, is there a debate? Why would you own a Switch and not own Mario Odyssey? I don't know. You would have to hate platformers or really only be into it for a certain game or something. But just, like, if you even remotely enjoy Mario games, Mario Odyssey is fucking great. And I would say, go for it. So... Orange Rite in chat says, my entire gaming week was Mario Odyssey. Kassen in chat says, are there bushes to hide in the desert? well, that was a question for Dungeon Buster, I guess, about, hiding, being Assassin's Creed-ing across Egypt. There are some different kind of mechanics where you can kind of hide in things and parts where 3D turns into 2D, and it's really cool. And guess what I got today in the mail that I'm really excited to play? Well, in the mail, UPS from Amazon. I got my Princess Peach wedding emoji, so you know what that means, guys.
He's wearing a dress.
Mario wedding dress time. Woohoo! Dark Sakura is, like, rolling her eyes.
Mario drag.
Have you seen the pictures of,
yes,
like, Mario? It's just, like, how can you hate it? It's so funny, like, cute, like, it's just... great. Like, like those pictures of Mario in a wedding dress running away from a Goomba, it's everything that Mario Odyssey is meant to be. I love it. All right. Anyway, Dungeon Buster in chat says, I own a Switch but don't have Odyssey yet. Well, yeah, but it's on your agenda. Like, obviously there's going to be people that are like, I don't have the finances for $60 right now, but I will by the holidays. I mean, it's on everybody's radar for sure. So there you go. All right. So yeah, Mario Odyssey. My highest recommendation of the game. I'm loving it. So there you go. I've had a very good gaming week. These are all good games that I'm talking about. Heroes of the Storm, Destiny 2. It's a great fucking time to be a gamer. So, all right. Housekeeping. I already mentioned we won't be here next week. That's a pre-planned night off. Sorry about that. But follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. You can also do a Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio, and Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. So I'll tell you this now, so you stay tuned tonight. Because we were gone last week, I thought what a nice apology would be tonight. Let's do something. And I looked. Do you know it's been over a year since we've done this on our show? We're going to bring back a segment that I know you guys love. We're going to have ourselves a listless tonight. So stay tuned. Listless coming up in part B. I'll tell you the topic later, but it has to do with one of our news stories tonight. So I think we need to get into the news so we can get to the listless topic. Right, Loki? Let's get into the news.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Paris Games Week. So they have that big, like... I don't know if you call it like a press conference, a big trailer sizzle reel, I guess, where they showed off a bunch of new things from Sony. So one of the big IPs that they were showing off was actually a game called Ghosts of Tsushima, which is a brand new game from Sucker Punch. And it kind of looks like, it reminds me a lot of like a Ninja Gaiden, just based off the small bit of gameplay that they had. But it basically takes place in feudal Japan with, you know, samurai. So it looks pretty cool. So that's something I'm definitely wanting to check out whenever that comes out. They also showed off some other stuff, including, let's see, they had this game called Erica, which is going to be using that... the PlayStation integration, the PlayLink, with your phone. So basically you can kind of pick, it almost looks like a choose your own adventure type thing where she's trying to figure out some sort of mystery that's going on, try to piece together like a puzzle or something. Kind of have that quantum, or not quantum break, quadratic dream type look to it, but at, you know, live action and everything. So, interesting, I guess. I don't know. Not my type of game, but it is a neat idea to, like, you know, use the phones and everything. Plus, I guess one of the gimmicks of it is you're going to be able to draw, like, in the world or touch the world, they said. So it's going to be using their, you know, touch screen.
Touch the world.
This game actually looked pretty awesome.
I feel like that should be a commercial that airs during the Jerry Springer show. Pick up the phone.
No.
Touch my world.
Stop. So there's another game called Onrush, which is like this off-road racing kind of cross with like Burnout type of game. So it's a very fast-paced, you know, smashing the cars and stuff like that. Game is going to be coming out from Ubisoft on the PlayStation 4, and it looks pretty awesome. So definitely one I'm willing to pick up since, you know, I love me some Burnout. And then... one of the things that they also announced that with the new Monster Hunter World, you're actually going to be able to play as Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn with the PlayStation 4 version. So that's kind of neat for fans of that. Of course, they also talked about the expansion that they have for that game. Then they've got a...
Please buy Monster Hunter World because our company's in a lot of trouble. We need this game to be a success.
Well, I guess, yeah. And then, of course, there's some new PlayStation VR titles. They had one that kind of looked a little bit like a spinoff of the gangster, like a London gangster thing that they had in PlayStation Worlds. But it's this game called Blood and Truth. And I guess it's just, you know, kind of throwing you into like some sort of modern, like, I don't even really say it's like gangster more. It might be like of a Mission Impossible type thing or something like that. So lots of gunplay and stuff. And then what else? They had another game that was kind of lame looking, though, that I was not interested in. But lots of VR stuff that they were announcing. So that was kind of cool. And then finally, the last thing, they had a game called Ore. And it came out actually that day when they announced it. And it kind of resembles like a... I don't know, that game company game.
Yeah, they were kind of like, they couldn't say made by that game company or anything like that, but they could say in the style of Journey and Flow brings this new adventure. And I heard the reviews were only mediocre. I didn't play it myself.
Yeah, I hear it didn't play that well, but it looks similar to that, you know, the same kind of art style.
Which, I mean, Journey was hands down like one of the greatest video gaming experiences of the past 10 years, like no question, like Journey is up there. So it's like, it's no surprise we're seeing games inspired by Journey because it deserves.
It did look kind of neat though, because it almost reminded me of like a shooter almost, like, because it seemed like a lot of bullet dodging and stuff like that. So there was that. It's about this boy kind of can transform into this dragon, like a Chinese dragon. So it was neat. I don't know. I would just check out the trailer, see if something that you might be interested in checking out. But that's pretty much the major stuff that they announced during Paris Game Week.
Interesting that they announced a lot here because Sony still has PSX coming up in the early December. Now, I thought I saw some tweet, and I don't know if this is, you know, take tweets with a grain of salt. But I heard that Sony shifted some of what they were going to announce at PSX to this. So some people are saying lower your expectations for PSX, but that seems
strange. They were also showing off, like, this is the stuff that we kind of mentioned was just the new stuff, but they also had, like, more trailers for different games that have already been announced. Like God of War had a gameplay trailer. They looked all right. They showed the redone intro for was it Shadow of the Colossus, that remake, which looked pretty gorgeous.
So do you think PSX is going to focus on, here's an update on Final Fantasy VII Remake? Like, I fully
Well, they have
that.
They have that other zombie game that's supposed to be coming out that they kind of showed a little bit of before. There's still, they can do another, I think they showed the Last of Us 2 trailer well. So they could always do more of that. They could show, hopefully, I'm hoping at this point, you know, especially since, you know, they're chummy and everything, we'll get to see a new Death Stranding trailer, so.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah, so maybe, I guess you're right. All those things they could kind of, quote-unquote, get away with. Honestly, the PSX conference could be 3 minutes long and a win. And all they have to do is come out and say, well, we know you've been asking for it, so we finally changed our mind on backwards compatibility. PS1, 2, and 3 games available today. Have fun. Like, that could be it. And everybody would be like, fuck yeah, PSX was the best year ever. Like, old shit is new again.
They're never
going to
do that, though. They're not going to do that until they're in second place.
It's just frustrating when you're watching like Microsoft over here going, we're going to take original Xbox games and make them in 4K. And like, meanwhile,
but see,
Sony's
that's
like...
that's what they're not thinking. They're like thinking, well, PlayStation 4 is so fucking strong and everything. Right, this generation, but then you look at like when the new consoles come out and you think, you know, the PlayStation 4 didn't really have all that mod support that I liked that the other one had. Oh, hey, you know what? Those exclusives weren't so great. That was it. You know, those games that I was really like banking on that were going to be really great games, maybe I will go back over there and, you know, do Microsoft instead. And that's kind of where it was like this time around, because I don't know, PlayStation 4 looked like it had some really great exclusives, but then some of those games just turn out to be kind of garbage.
Well, yeah, like SSO and Hunter Matt in chat says, yeah, I'm not expecting any blockbuster stuff from PSX show. But they, like, well, you mentioned that, Loki. Street Fighter V was a PSX announcement. Now, at the time, that was a pretty fucking big deal. Now, obviously, the game came out, and it's controversial. We'll leave it at that. They're trying to salvage what they can with that. But at the time, still, the fact that Street Fighter V was coming and it's PlayStation and PC only and not none for you, Xbox, go home, that was a pretty big
deal.
That's
the thing about those both those conferences and stuff, and like especially these major game announcements where they're like, this console and PC exclusive. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm a winner on PC. Woo, I can get all of this. You know, and that's kind of like what that was
me and Microsoft
really
E3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's really kind of the big thing that's kind of kept me away from an Xbox One, because I don't feel that I need to have a system for these games. Like, man, I really want to play Forza. Wait, I have a PC that can run that, and they have it on PC, so I don't need the buyer console. But yeah, I hope that there's other games that'd be worthwhile, but there really is not a lot of exclusives. That's why I kind of been just like, I'm not really jumping in, you know, to getting multiple consoles right now. Of course, a Switch later, because Nintendo's never going to put stuff on PC. Although they do. It'd be fucking awesome. Come on. Emulators eventually.
Well, anyway, I'm going to temper my expectations for PSX, but I think there'll be a surprise or two. There's going to be some big game they're going to unveil to get the fans hyped, because this is their chance to get things in front of the fans. I don't think it's out of the question that maybe we'll get something playable for Final Fantasy VII Remake or for Kingdom Hearts 3, like something out of the Square Enix camp.
Shit, Kingdom Hearts 3 has got to fucking come out at some point, right?
Yeah, I'm like, these games are supposed to be coming out someday. Like, one of those games has to come out 2018.
Crackdown's got to come out someday. I know it's not, you know, Sony, but Jesus Christ, man. That was going to be the game that was going to sell me on that console. And now I'm like, eh.
I would think Final Fantasy Remake Part 1 is coming 2018. Like, because again, they split that game into parts. And we've already seen the trailers that show that game in motion in Midgar, you know, some of the opening scene was like, and that was a year ago. So I would think we're closer than again, I'm not going to get my hopes that high up, but I would think Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 is close.
I still have to play through 15. 15 was a game I was really excited
for. Well, if you play
for
15, that's going to be the same engine the 7 Remake is running in, so you'll get an idea what to expect.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
All right, SSO and Matt in chat says, to be clear, I'm not expecting any sort of Kingdom Hearts 3, Shenmue, or Final Fantasy VII Remake news. All right, that's don't go in expecting any of that. That way, if it does show up, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
All C-Man. All C-Man.
go expecting nothing but Seaman. One publisher that won't be showing up at a Nintendo conference anytime soon likely is EA. Because EA has mentioned this week, you know, we're not really in a rush to make more video games for the Nintendo Switch. You might remember that EA kind of has tested the Nintendo Switch with FIFA 18 being out there on the platform. I would assume this game's doing all right. But in a recent, I guess this was an interview with the Wall Street Journal, since we are talking about finances, the finance chief, Blake Jorgensen, said that basically they want to wait for the Switch to be on the market a full year before deciding whether to release more games besides just FIFA 18. They want to wait to, quote, fully understand what the demand is for Switch before committing more resources
to it. It's just cost versus return on creating another engine, because Frostbite doesn't run on it. That's really what it comes down to. And I'm guessing that they probably just converted, because I still think that they have legacy versions coming out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 still for FIFA. It's one of the few games that they have that still, because in certain regions they don't have the newer systems or they're not readily available. So that's probably why they converted FIFA, is because they have the older engine that they're adapting to it. But they're not going to. That's why they're waiting. It's got to be a runaway success before they want to sink money into it.
I'm going to tell you what it is, because my husband hit the nail on the head with this first thing out of his mouth. He said, oh, this is because Nintendo is challenged when it comes to online, and EA wants that sweet loot box money. And I was like, you're right. You're absolutely right. Nintendo still hasn't unveiled what their full plan for online is. That's what's holding EA back.
I don't think so. I think they could still implement loot boxes if they wanted to. They have a
Does FIFA 18 have loot boxes?
Yes. They've got the ready – they've got the what do they call it? It's like the team thing that they've had. They've had those loot boxes for FIFA for a long time. The player cards or whatever they call them. Yeah. I forget. The something team. I don't remember what it's called.
Well, that's been around forever. That's why everybody got their accounts on their
Ultimate
Xbox 360
team
hacked.
Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been around forever. So they have loot boxes and that type of stuff for the longest time.
JD in chat says, to be honest, if EA had any sense, they would port Bejeweled to Switch. Yeah, I mean, EA has that PopCap kind of casual arm. Is PopCap still open, or did EA close?
I think they closed it.
God, fuck EA if they did that. But I remember, you know, PopCap did a lot more of those. No, because they're still making Plants vs. Zombies is still a big – and Peggle games are still – I think they're still around, but they're not kind of what they used to be under EA, which, you know – but anyway.
Shell of a company.
But anyway, but still, I mean, you would think that those types of more casual games would do very well on something like Switch. Oh, by the way, in a related update, the Nintendo Switch has sold 7.6 million units.
Doomed for failure.
Total failure. 7.6 million Switch units as of September 2017. Already more than half the sales of the Wii U in its entire lifetime. This includes 4.7 million Zelda Breath of the Wild, 4.4 Mario Kart 8, 3.6 Splatoon 2. And speaking of sales, Super Mario Odyssey, 2 million copies in 3 days. That's per Nintendo's estimate. That includes bundles, digital sales, but still 2 million copies in 3 days. There ain't a lot of games pushing numbers like that. So it does put an interesting sort of, when you put that next to EA's, we're going to wait and see how the Switch does. Ya boners, the Switch is doing just fine if you would just figure out what you are going to put on this system.
EA doesn't make games like Mario Odyssey. They don't make good games like that anymore.
Honestly, because they'd have to convert the engine, so I guess there's no Mass Effect to be had on it.
What about the original trilogy?
That could happen.
You know, because there's been tweets out there. The N7 Day is next week, right? So, and I guess it's 10 years of Mass Effect this year. And EA...
still mad.
I know. Here's my punchline. EA put out a tweet that said, come join us to celebrate 10 years of Mass Effect on November 7th.
So if they show a trailer for Anthem that day? Is that going to piss
everybody? I am going to riot.
My reply was, if it's not Corey and Ark DLC, which we know it's not...
Because they're putting it out in a book.
Or a remaster of the trilogy, go party by yourself, which is my nice way of saying go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
After what you did to that franchise.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to invest, like, and at least if you're going to say Andromeda done fucked it all up, if you're not going to at least then go back and do the trilogy and remaster that and put that out, you know, which could hypothetically be on the Switch, then you know what? That's a party I ain't going to. Have fun. Anyhow, let's move on to happier news. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, you know, I love my Animal Crossing, and I'm looking forward to Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, even though I am not going to, you know, be an idiot and make an Australian account just to play it early when I'm going to have it soon anyway. Of course, it's already been data mined for information put up by Critical GG. And there are, you know, some interesting, I mean, it's interesting, but not surprising. So as a campsite manager, you will be able to grow your own plants in the garden, and you have to water them. I mean, that's just mainstays of Animal Crossing, really. But then you also, like, buy fertilizer, which, if I remember correctly, came up in New Leaf. And then you have soil states, normal to dry to withered. Your other animals can hang out in your gardens, and then there's like plant breeding, which again they also had with the different, you know, colors of roses and other plants in New Leaf. And then you also are going to have like winter themed locations, different things for different seasons, different facilities, like a school, a shop, a hospital, restaurant, office, and hotel. And that's like more of the stuff from New Leaf. So this is really just like, it seems to me, just like normal Animal Crossing, but updated for mobile. And of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that these items are going to be implemented in the game. But the thing that's interesting is that there's costumes that are found, which, again, there were costumes in New Leaf and other Animal Crossing games, but it includes Mario, Link, and Samus. So you can get those, the assets already existed in the other Animal Crossing games. I just think it's cool that this is really going to look like it's more like an actual Animal Crossing. So I'm pretty happy.
I got to admit, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because Animal Crossing has not been about collecting virtual console games since the original GameCube release, but I'm having a hard time getting excited about it. I mean, of course I'm going to download it because it's free, and of course I'm going to try it and play it, and who knows, maybe I'll have a good time. But like when I watched the Nintendo Direct, at the end of it I was just kind of, meh. How about something really truly different for Animal Crossing? I mean, granted, they're gonna save that for the Switch, probably, hopefully, but I wasn't that excited. I don't know.
I'm gonna play it, and I want one for Switch. I love my Animal Crossing.
No, and that's cool.
Switch, I can take it to work and play during my lunch.
SSJ100 Matt says in chat, my girlfriend is all over this Animal Crossing mobile game, which means I will have to be. But I'm like Rob. I'm not really feeling it after watching the Direct. Kaijudo, though, says Animal Crossing is fun times. And JD saying I'm really looking forward to the Animal Crossing game. So again, it's like the Funko dolls. I'm not going to knock you for spending money on Animal Crossing. Have fun with it. And I like Animal Crossing, but for me, it's a little stale. So maybe the change in setting or maybe some of this other stuff, maybe it will make the mobile version more interesting, but I'm not really excited about it. Although I did have a laugh at the whole Tom Nook on the Cash Money store, because there was a picture, like there's pictures of Tom Nook selling the different amounts, and the highest amount of like the paper tickets you can buy is like $50. And it shows a picture of Tom Nook swimming in a bathtub full of money.
Yeah.
And that cracked me up. So at least I was like, well, at least there's a sense of humor about what a disgusting amount of money Nintendo stands to make off this game.
I like that his icon is one you can have on your Switch.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little version of my me, I think, doing a little pose that's like, hey.
I want to try my amiibos on it now, all my Animal Crossing ones, and see if any of them bring anything up.
In certain games, like in,
I'm talking about on the actual system, where you can use it to make your avatar.
I don't think the system will do. No, the system won't do anything. But the games will. Like, you can use any amiibo in Breath of the Wild, only Zelda-related ones do very specific things, but the other amiibos will give you coins, random items, and Mario Odyssey is a very similar thing. Like, every amiibo will give you something, but only certain ones, like Bridal Peach, will give you something, like, very specific.
I wonder if the Tom Nook one will take your money.
It might. Or if the Rossetti one will actually yell at you.
You that would be cool.
All right. Let's move on with some more stories. Loki, another big event this past weekend, right?
Yes, I forgot that BlizzCon was even this weekend, but apparently there is lots of announcements from that.
Oh, you don't follow the same people I do on Twitter. I couldn't avoid it. But it's you know what? I had a lot of fun when I went in 2014. I was a little pissy that Diablo was nowhere to be found, and they said it was going to really not be a BlizzCon. I was a little pissy about that, but... You know, I was still living vicariously for my friends who were there. It's really about the community at these meetups.
So they did announce that their Overwatch is getting another hero. So they have Moira. I don't know.
Moira, I believe is correct.
Moira, okay. She is a healer, and I guess from of course Blackwatch, and then. They also showed off a new map as well, which is kind of neat. It's like Blizzard World, which I guess is a tribute to different Blizzard games.
It's like Disneyland. It's that China theme park that ripped it all off. That was when I was first looking. I was like, oh, they got the last laugh on that, didn't they? Remember the stories about the China theme park that they built around World of Warcraft and shit? Like, that's what it is. So I had a good laugh about that. I'll just quickly say with the Moira thing too, she was completely unexpected because they haven't really dropped any hints about who the character would be. So Moira kind of came out of nowhere, so to speak. But they also showed during one of the development panels, which I thought was really interesting, they showed a ton of concept art for like all these different characters.
Yeah, I saw the one was a jetpack cat or something like that.
Yeah, jetpack cat. It's an allusion to an old kung fu movie, but there was an old Asian lady with curlers in her hair smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah, from Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah, there was a character in Overwatch that looked like that old lady.
That was like, awesome.
That would have been fucking rad.
I still think they should put Jetpack Cat in there.
Yeah, Jetpack Cat would be awesome, but who knows? Maybe some of these characters will come out in the future. Who knows?
Especially if they get good feedback on them. Because remember the whole Pandarian thing? Remember that was a big old April Fool's joke thing, and then all of a sudden...
That's true.
They had this expansion, you know, because people were fans of it.
That's true.
So that's kind of neat. And then in non-Overwatch news, of course, this was something that they've alluded to in the past with shutting down those servers, but... World of Warcraft Classic is finally announced, which is going to be basically the vanilla World of Warcraft before, you know, they added all the expansions.
Ugh, all those people are welcome to that shit.
Go have fun, everybody.
I don't miss having to elementally do my weapons or training with my weapon. I don't miss that shit. They can have it.
Yeah, I know. Everybody that's like, back in the day, World of Warcraft actually used to be hard. You know, when they first announced the news, I was like, why the fuck did Blizzard give in to those people? Why did they give them those people? They're going to do all this work building those servers, and then people are going to be like, oh, yeah, this game sucks.
Or like being stuck at what's its fuck outside Orgrimmar.
Ugh.
Where it was like they divided it into two areas now.
I've come around on my perspective. If that's fine, go build the classic zone. Get those fucking people out of the game. All those people that are like, back in my day, fine, go be here, go have fun. Go have fun in your playground that is not going to be as good as you remember. Have a blast going to level 40 to get your mount. Have a great time. Maybe I'll come back to WoW, who knows? But I wasn't really feeling the rest of the news that they announced, Loki.
Yeah. So, yeah, along with that, of course, they did announce that if you are, you know, like most people that do enjoy the expansions, they have another expansion coming. So they have a Horde versus Alliance expansion called the Battle for Azeroth, which has a new continent, Zandalar, and new dungeon raids.
Ooh,
and
that sounds
uncharted
fun.
And uncharted islands. And I guess you also have supporting the different alliances in this Alliance versus Horde war.
How long have people been talking about having the Zandalar stuff, like, since Vanilla?
At least Lich King, when that was really front and center in one particular zone there.
Right?
Yeah. So
why are they announcing this shit after I've decided to move on?
Because that's why they're doing it. But I gotta say, I was not.
Legion was fun though.
Again, I was kind of meh at the expansion news. I wasn't really feeling it. Like when they were talking this whole line about we're going back to the war in Warcraft and going back to our roots, I'm like, you say the same thing every expansion. When you introduce Mists of Pandaria, you said we're going back to Horde versus Alliance, and we all saw how that turned out. So forgive me if I give a little side eye to this whole we're going back to our roots. Uh-huh, sure, Jan.
Honestly, I'm tired of the whole Horde versus Alliance thing. I would rather, like, have a neutral faction.
Horde and Alliance fuck party. Is that something you'd play?
It'll be called the Horlliance.
And then, finally, last but not least, they said that StarCraft II is going free-to-play. So you can actually, on November 14th, you'll be able to download Wings of Liberty, the campaign, without paying anything. And you get access to both single and multiplayer for free.
That's a pretty big deal for a lot of people. StarCraft will be free, but it sounds like it's free, but it sounds kind of limited.
It sounds
doing.
Like it's, you have to buy the expansions if you want those. They're just not selling the base game anymore. And then apparently if you just have Wings of Liberty, they'll also give you the first expansion.
That's me. I only have Wings of Liberty, but never really played the game after that. So
you'll get that at least. So that's cool, I guess, if you want to try it out. And then, of course, they have, you know, the StarCraft remaster that you can check that out, too. So that's also free.
You did miss the news for the current Blizzard game I'm all about, which is Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah. So they have more Overwatch characters coming to it?
Just one. Hanzo. Which is like
the worst Overwatch character.
I'm sorry, but people are going to disagree with me on that. But as much as I kind of give him shit in Overwatch, he makes a lot of sense for Heroes of the Storm. Like, his abilities, especially the dragon thing for a lane game, are going to be great. So, all right, whatever. And then Alexstrasza looks pretty cool, I guess. But, you know, here's the thing with all that. Blizzard kind of announces new heroes throughout the year all the time. Like, we just got, within the past 6 weeks, Anna and Junkrat from Overwatch. So the whole reveal of Hanzo and Alexstrasza at BlizzCon didn't feel exactly like, ooh, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, this is the next month and they're just doing it on stage at BlizzCon. So, oh, and there's another game, Hearthstone. They have a new expansion too, something about the Hoggers and a silly little theme song that goes with it, because there's always some silly little theme song that goes with it. So, but I don't play a lot of Hearthstone. Sorry, guys, but I know some people are super into that. So your requisite BlizzCon announcement of a Hearthstone expansion did indeed occur. Done. All right. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSGO and Hunter Matt says, wow, Hanzo shade. You know what? Let's see. Raginator says, if Hanzo was in a valley, would he be Hanzo low and shoot first? Oh, God.
Yes, Rob's, he would.
No, because...
I quit. Rob, I'm done with this show.
Because
I quit. Here's my letter of resignation.
No. Han didn't shoot first. Han shot only.
All right.
But Han's taking medication to fix that problem, so...
Moving on. Just for that, next story. Oh, it's my story. God damn it. All right. Just for that, we're doing sad news. First off, for sad news, and I don't mean to make light of this, because this news really does suck. Runic Games has been closed. If you don't know them by name, you probably know the games they made.
Does EA own them?
No, actually, Perfect World owns Runic Games.
Does EA own them?
No. Torchlight and Torchlight 2 were the big games that Runic made, which, coming off this news of no Diablo news, we've seen these other games that kind of come in and, you know, pick up the slack. What was it? Grim Dawn's another one that's pretty good. I mean, that's not Runic, but, you know, there's other, like, Diablo clones out there that do... Path of Exile is the other huge one, right? But anyway, sadly, Torchlight, which was pretty good, I really enjoyed it, Runic Games has been closed. That fucking sucks. They also were making a MOBA called Gigantic, but sadly, yeah, they have closed Runic Games, which was located in Seattle. Perfect World, in a statement, said that Gigantic will, quote, continue to be available on all our platforms, and Runic will remain a part of Perfect World Entertainment's portfolio of studios. They also went to say, for those that love the Torchlight series, there will be some news coming. That's from Runic studio head Marsh Leffler. And for all our fans, our community and multiplayer services will keep running even after the studio's lights go off. you haven't heard The Last of Us, so it makes me think that another developer will be taking the reins for Torchlight 3 or whatever is next in Torchlight's future. But sadly, a moment of silence for our pals at Runic Games. That's not fun news to talk about. Also not fun to talk about is Housemarque apparently says they're no longer going to make arcade games. And that means like arcade style games. This was in a blog from CEO Ilari Quintinen. Sorry, I'm totally mispronouncing that. But in this open letter said, despite critical success and numerous awards, our games just haven't sold in significant numbers.
Are they the ones that did Super Stardust?
They are the ones that did Super Stardust as well as Rezogun, which were huge titles. Here's the thing. I was like, wait a minute. Didn't Housemarque have a game that I really wanted to play coming out? They did. It's Nex Machina was the other game that they were doing. And actually, did you know that Nex Machina came out? That was that game they showed at E3 that was the big trailer they had with it. And Eugene Jarvis was a part of this game, which is a pretty big deal. He was back in the day. Was he Robotron? Defender. Defender was the game that Eugene Jarvis did. So it was a big deal that he was partnering up. That game came out over the summer. I had no idea. And I wanted to play that game. So I need to go back on my PlayStation 4 and get it. But can I just say that, like, you know, now granted, look, this podcast thing is a hobby. Twitter isn't everything, although it's a lot. But I'm just saying, like, I really liked what I saw at E3. I had no idea this game came out already. I think that should say something about why the game wasn't selling. Did you guys know that it came out? Because I missed it.
It's also, too, that Sony's storefront that they have, their PlayStation store, is kind of crap.
I would agree with that. It's time for it to evolve. It needs an evolution. It needs a fresh coat of paint. I'll give you that.
Because there'll be games that I know like are coming out. Like, for example, there was that Megaton Rainfall game that I was looking forward to. And it was supposed to come out on a certain day, and it was like only a couple days away from it, and it wasn't on the storefront anywhere. I was like, okay, well, shit. You know, I was going to mark it for download or pre-purchase or something like that, and it wasn't there. And all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, it's up now. And it's like, okay, well, there's the store page. But, like, all these other games have, like, coming soon pages and everything. Where's all this shit?
Well, now, and I do want to clarify, Housemarque hasn't announced that they're closing. They're just announcing that they're making different games now. So
that's fine.
I mean, well, that's fine if a company wants to branch out and do different games. But honestly, the shocking part of that story, honest to God, for me, and maybe I was just in the dark or playing something else, the most shocking part of that story was that that game came out and I had no idea. Oops. I guess I'm part of the problem. Kaijudo said it was all over the PSVR store page. It was a PSVR game? I had no idea. Was it a VR game? I didn't know that. I figured since they kept talking about Robotron and name-checking Eugene Jarvis, I'd figured it was kind of like a modern version of Robotron with some awesome Tron-looking music and stages and stuff. And I was here for that, so I had no idea it was a VR game. Oh, boy! All right, well, good luck to Housemarque with their future development and promotion of the things that they put out, that's for sure. So, anyway... and Dark Tetsuya confirming, yeah, it is. Oh, I mean, it's like Robotron. All right, well, Dark Tetsuya figured out that game came out. I somehow missed that. Sorry about that. Oops. I killed that franchise. Sorry, guys. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Treasure.
Buried treasure?
No.
My favorite.
No, treasure like Radiant Silver Gun and Ikaruga.
Well, that's pretty cool, too.
Gunstar Heroes. So there was a rumor that Treasure was going to stop making new games. But no. The last new game that they did was Geist Crusher God that came out in 2014. The rumor was that they were going to go as an IP holding company. But their president, Maegawa Masato, said that they have an announcement coming out in 2018. And that Treasure is not going to make social games as long as he lives. The quote, I'll never work on social games for as long as I live. I'll have something to share next year.
Somebody's taken a stand. Somebody has had it officially.
Right. But anyway, he also was complaining about the lack of communication at Sega when they were working on Mega Drive games, especially when they were working on Yu Yu Hakusho. And they said Gunstar Heroes shipped 70,000 units in Japan and 200,000 abroad, and that the the first run of it in Japan went out really quickly. He also wishes that Sega would do a Mega Drive Mini like what Nintendo's doing and not, you know, licensed out by a third party so that it actually is the right, you know, hardware to run the games. So, we've got some things here from Treasure from next year. That's going to be pretty exciting. I love Treasure.
Can we get like a Dreamcast Mini or like a...
Dude, a Dreamcast Mini would be rad. Of course, how many, you know, burned GD-ROMs do we have
a lot.
In existence?
But still, though, it's just how many of us own or have a copy of Mario Brothers or Super Mario Brothers and ROMs and stuff like that? Everybody does, but it doesn't mean they're not going to buy the system. I'd buy Dreamcast Mini.
Oh, hell yeah, I'd buy Dreamcast Mini.
Scale to like 1080p.
Especially if they put PSO again on it. You know, I don't know how that would work, but I would be here for that.
This is Fantasy World that we're talking.
Well,
Fantasy Zone.
Get ready.
I don't think it's in our show role at all, but PSO2 is getting like some neat skins. Like,
never coming over here.
Yeah, I tend to leave that stuff out because it just causes me pain.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be getting, one of the Shining games, skins for that, and Virtual On. So it may be enough to make me re-download it.
Yeah. All right, just a few more stories before we get to the classic system of the month. But first, Loki.
Yes, so Call of Duty World War II finally came out, and there's, of course, controversy. Well, first off, you know, they have the controversy that for some stupid reason, they have Trevor T. Martin, actually promoting the game, and he was best known for violating Federal Trade Commission regulations by owning a Counter-Strike skin gambling site and not disclosing that. So he's apparently doing, I guess, a Race to Prestige fundraiser type thing. I don't know. I think it's dumb, but all the more reason not to really give a shit about this. One of the big things, though, that's kind of annoying, though, and remember, we talked about this whole patent that Activision had done, and they said, no, we're not using this patent in Destiny 2 or whatever about loot boxes and basically finding ways to get people, you know, exposed to loot boxes and, you know, manipulating people in certain ways. Guess what Call of Duty World War II has?
It's not in Destiny.
It's not in Destiny, but guess what it has? It has fucking loot boxes, because I know when people are in World War II, loot boxes fell from the fucking heavens, and, you know, there's literally, like, achievements and goals in the game to watch people, because when people get, there's, like, a social area, first off, so the beach of Normandy is a social area. So many things are wrong with that in the first place.
Wow.
So,
wow.
There's that, and then, apparently, as you're doing that, when you get loot boxes, other players can see them drop from the sky and see what cool shit you got. As, like, some sort of subliminal way to say, oh, maybe you should purchase some fucking loot boxes. Like a certain patent that a certain company made that said, oh, don't worry, it's not evil. We're just thinking about ideas, except we're totally going to do this in the next Call of Duty game.
What you're describing is like a parody of what gaming has become, but it's fucking real.
Yes. So on top...
The social zone of the beach of Normandy.
Yes. So, they have these socialization zones. And what other cool things do they have in there as well? Well, apparently, you can also play Pitfall.
Well, I do like Pitfall.
Who doesn't like Pitfall? But yes, you can play Pitfall 2.
I love Pitfall 2.
I think you actually have to purchase some of these. So, yeah, they have a rest and relaxation thing. So, they have...
It's in a fucking loot box, isn't it?
You have to purchase them with in-game money or whatever, but they've got, and I don't know if it's per play, but apparently you can go to an R&R tent, and they have Pitfall 2, Grand Prix, Fishing Derby, Enduro, Kaboom, River Raid.
Okay, so all the old 2600 Activision
games.
Yes,
all
basically.
The old Activision games.
Which is all on those Flashback consoles, because Flashbacks are on version 8 this year, and the big thing that they got was Activision licenses. So, like, all those exact same games you just named are on those Flashback 8 consoles.
Yeah.
Just, except I don't think Pitfall 2 is in it, but Pitfall 1 is.
So, it's just something that they have in this part of this hub now.
Alrighty.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, home.
So, yeah.
Well, look, I'm all for classic games being available and all this stuff, but if they charge you per play, that's a little silly.
I don't think they're charging probably per play. It doesn't specifically state that. That would be kind of lame because who would do that? But they're like, you know, it doesn't look like it's that much currency. It's like 10 currency or something like that. 10 whatever loot. Coin. I don't know what the fuck they're
10 looty points.
Looty points. I like that. 10 looties.
Arr, you found the looty. All right. And one more story for you before we get to the classic game of the week. And it's about the video game Just Dance. Have you played Just Dance recently?
No, not for several years.
Yeah, It's a franchise I've kind of fallen out of the
habit. Is it taking the world by storm?
Well, apparently it is. I mean, they're still putting them out. Just Dance 2018 is out there. And
well, yeah, because they don't have to update their engine or anything. They just spit them out every year because they still have it coming out on the original Wii. So
well, apparently these games are so popular that it's justifying the existence of Just Dance Live. That's right. Four places in North America. If you are one of the lucky residents of Miami, Chicago, Houston, or Los Angeles, guess what? Just Dance Live is coming to your town. What is Just Dance Live? I don't fucking know because I can't figure it out from the trailer. It looks like it's just a kid-friendly rave, meaning all the glow sticks and none of the ecstasy. I think that's what it is. But apparently there will be dancers. And by the way, Just Dance has like furries as dancers too. You can't actually be playing Just Dance without having like a panda bear, like a character in Tekken
so
doing the dances.
They said there's characters on stage.
Uh-huh.
That you follow their iconic, once again, Ubisoft misusing the word iconic, Just Dance moves.
Girl, that panda dance, iconic.
Like I'm sure that, like, you know, the iconic moves of, like, no.
So they're going to copy the moves that they do in the game, which is iconic, I guess. Colorful characters dancing live on stage. You follow along. Share the thrill with your friends and family. Pricing from $45 to $99 for the VIP experience. Okay, to be fair, it does sound to me like this is an event for kids. Like, when I say kid-friendly rave, like, there's a half-truth to that. So, Loki, this begs the question. Would you take your kids to the Just Dance Live?
First off, my kids don't know what Just Dance is, so no, I would not do that. And I was just curious, oh my god, what the fucking hell is wrong with these people?
Are you watching the trailer?
It's pretty late, though. I mean, they've got, like, you know, 8:30. It starts at 8:30. There's
two shows. One is late and one
and
is early.
And then matinee, okay. Yeah, matinee. So the matinee and whatever. But, like, No.
All right. For the VIP experience, for that $99, you get glow-up glasses, an exclusive drawstring bag, and VIP glow laminate. And you get an in-game reward for Just Dance and a meet-and-greet with the cast after the show. Although I should point out, although it's been in many of her music videos, Katy Perry is not going to be there at the Just Dance event. In fact, no actual recording artists that you know from these games, except unless there's like a in-house band or something, will not be there. So you are meeting people that are dressed up.
You're meeting costume characters.
Yes.
That it's awfully bold of them to assume that this is so big that I just can't.
You can't. You can't. I know.
Like, okay.
Literally,
like, let's put it this way. Okay, so they have, like, Dancing with the Stars, and they do live stage performances of that.
Yes.
But that, you're watching an actual skilled person that, like, knows how to ballroom dance. And that's, like, that's actually kind of entertaining because you know
C-list celebrities, which are, you know, people
want
to see.
So you know what you're going into that. But this is, like, It's just people playing the fucking game, basically. You're watching them and doing the same shit. Why would I pay $45 to go to an arena to do that? Even if I was a kid, I could think of way better things I'd spend my money on. How about a copy of Just Dance?
Come on, Noel Gus in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Rob, if they had an ABBA-themed one, you'd be there. How dare you drag me and read me so accurately in front of our dozens and dozens of listeners? How very dare you?
Would you, though? Would you seriously go pay? It wouldn't be ABBA singing. It would just be pre-recorded ABBA music with some dumbasses on stage dancing to it. Would you pay $45 to watch people dancing to ABBA?
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, I want to have my pride. I want to say, no, Loki, I would not. But the reality is, I'm pretty sure there actually is a show in Reno where drag queens do ABBA songs.
But that's drag queens. Okay, that's some talented people. This is fucking...
Did our token straight person here on Orange Lounge Radio just say drag queens are more talented than the Just Dance?
Yes, because this fucking panda bear that I see on my screen.
I am the proudest gay.
Seriously, like, there's this the picture that they have in the Just Dance Live interactive experience. That's quite a bold statement right there. You know, they have this. And sorry for using this word, because I use it quite often, but sorry. Fucking retarded-looking panda bear. It is the most stupid, derpy panda bear I've ever seen. And don't get me wrong, like, this would be different if it was, like, a character that people know. But no one's like, oh my god, I love Panda Bear from Just Dance. Yeah, I'm totally dressing up on Halloween as Panda Bear, the well-known, iconic character. Nobody does that. Nobody is that into Just Dance. It's a casual game. No one's hardcore into a casual game like this.
The only Just Dance I care about is Lady Gaga.
JD in chat says they also have an ABBA Just Dance game. Yeah, I'm aware. Dark Sakura may have seen me play that
before. I thought that was SingStar ABBA.
No, there's both, and I may own both. There's a SingStar ABBA and
Tiara
Just
was
Dance
here
ABBA.
For that.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to...
I don't want to talk.
You love Just Dance the game and showing stupid people dancing at home. Now experience dumbasses on stage. Okay, I'll tell you what. This is – okay, think back.
Are we really going to rant about 30 minutes?
No. Hold on. Think back to the last few E3s. Okay, think back to E3s. And think back to the Ubisoft conferences.
Okay.
What is seriously the best part of every Ubisoft conference?
Aisha Tyler.
Is it – I'm surprised you didn't say it's the Just Dance performances, because I know every time I see those Just Dance performances on any of those Ubisoft conferences, I'm like, holy fuck, this is stupid and cringy as shit. This is what people are paying money to go see? Why? Why would you say that?
Well, if they say Aisha Tyler's going to be there, now I have incentive to
pay
$45 to go.
I'm sure that these people that listen to these songs like the artists that sing these songs. How about you put that $45 towards a ticket and actually see the real artist go on stage and perform, because that's fucking worth spending money on, not watching a bunch of nobodies dance to a song. That's why you have Just Dance, so you can be a bunch of nobodies dancing to a song. You don't need to pay money to go to an event to do that.
Calm down. Marissa Congusto, our pal, we love her, in our chat saying, dumbasses on stage was rejected by the marketing team. All right, look, we have got to move on. But maybe we'll revisit this topic a little later. Wink. In the meantime, we need to get to a segment we do here on the show quite regularly called the Classic Game of the Week, except plot twist. Dark Sakura sometimes likes to
like
make
it's really a plot twist after 11 months.
And once a month, she does the Classic System of the Month. This is the next to last one.
It is, and it's actually not one that wasn't on our original list.
You changed it.
I did. Because this one's pretty fucking awesome.
All right. Well, that's all right. It's your segment. You can do whatever the hell you want. It's the Classic Game of the Week, or this week, the Classic System of the Month.
As it was known in Japan, the X-Rokuman Hasen, which just sounds so cool to say aloud, the X68000, which is a home computer that was made by Sharp. It was first released in 1987, only in Japan. It had, for its first model, a 10 megahertz Motorola 68000 CPU, one whole meg of RAM, and no hard drive. The last one that came out, which was in 1993, had a 25 megahertz Motorola 68000 1030 CPU, 4 meg of RAM, and an optional 80 megabyte SCSI hard drive. It was so SCSI. At any rate, this was pretty much the thing to have if you liked your Capcom games. Basically, most of the, and also you could expand the RAM to 12 megabytes, but it didn't really need more than 2 for most of the games. So anyway, its operating system was called Human 86000, which was developed by Sharp, and actually developed for Sharp by Hudsonsoft. And we know Hudson was actually really big in bed with NEC at the time.
Oh, a lot of questions were just answered. This video just got to a segment from Parodius Da, which I know is one of your favorites.
Yeah. It had really a lot of great games on it.
It looks really... You said this is 93 was when this ended?
Yeah, this looks 87 really, to 93.
This looks really good for a system of that time.
Well, and I picked just basically, you know, like some of the top 10 or top 30 games for my video on it. But it also was like a tall tower. It was white because apparently, I guess, light colored systems do well in Japan, maybe. Anyway, it also had, it would also function as with the cable ready TV set with composite video input. It also could withstand the display that came with it. I'm sorry, would also work for JAMA arcade boards because it had RGB input and a standard resolution refresh timing. So pretty good. It used a hard disk interface, which was the SASI SASI, I want to call it. That basically. The later versions, though, went with the SCSI, which was pretty much a standard for a long time, and then I guess it got, you know, replaced by something better. It did not support the VFAT file name standard that went with Windows systems. It had an 18.3 character file name instead of the 8.3 allowed in the FAT system. So, yeah, just some you know, background on it. But the thing that made this the best, is because the X68000 had very similar hardware to what arcade machines ran at the time. And it also was the Capcom CPS system development machine. It had different text. It could support separate text RAM, graphic RAM, and hardware sprites as well. It also had Yamaha's basically best synthesizer at the time. And it was the thing. I mean, basically... Games that were made for the system were Parodius Da, as we saw, Ghouls and Ghosts, Strider, Final Fight, Alien Syndrome, Street Fighter 2 Dash, and actually one of the best Castlevania versions, the original Akumajo Dracula, that was later on ported to PlayStation with the Castlevania Chronicles, Chorensha 68000, which basically was ported to Windows later. And it really just allowed for beautiful graphics. And, I mean, arcade perfect. Sound was amazing on it. Again, everything that the system, that basically came out on the system, was like having an arcade version in your home. It really was the one to have. I would love to have one if I could find one. I mean, it'd be fun to hook that up and play different things, you know. I think that's Legend of the Valkyrie we're looking at. Is it?
Oh, I missed the name. Sorry.
Oh, well. But anyway, just to go over a list of a few more of the games that came out on it, you know, a couple of little things that people might recognize is we had Afterburner came out on it. Alien Syndrome, like I said. We had Asuka 120% Burning Festival. We had Atomic Robo Kid, Battle Chess. I fucking love Battle Chess, by the way. A game called Blodia, several Bomberman games, Bubble Bobble, Chase HQ, Columns.
It's a Cotton game.
Fantastic Night Dreams.
This system has your name written all over it.
Right?
It's like all your favorite games on one set. I'm really surprised you don't have one of these.
Well, they're pretty expensive. I mean, like I said, Daimakaimura, which was Ghosts and Goblins. Daytona Twinbee. Several Dragon Knight games. I'm just going through the list here.
Say, don't read the whole list. We got
Emerald Dragon came out on 2 this.
2 hours almost.
Emerald Dragon, which is you know kind of like one of the golden games to have for the PC Engine, that came out on this. You know, we had Final Fight, Fantasy Zone, all the stuff that I fucking love. Galaga 88, sorry. And several of the Garou Densetsu games, which was Fatal Fury. So, hey. This is the thing to have.
Yeah, so if you have one to give away, Dark Sakura would like to talk to you.
Honestly, even if you could find one just for a good affordable price, I'd be down for it. I would give someone else's right arm for this.
All right. Anything else to say about this?
It's hairier.
No, I know. The system looks... This is like Dark Sakura is like, somebody made this just for you.
If you actually want to see really good comparisons for how well this ran everything in comparison to its... what's the word? Contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
Look for...
Oh, shit. Salamander. Which yeah. was Life Force for many people.
But look for the channel that does Battle of the Ports. And... he's really good. I mean, a lot of them are played emulated, but it really does showcase how great the system is compared to its contemporaries that were out at the time, especially like the ZX Spectrum. I mean, that was just kind of sad. But it's worth a shot. I mean, really, 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 if on my holy grail of systems to have, this would be at the top of it, followed by the Marty, or the FM Towns Marty. And then probably after that, well, I'd still really like a Duo RX. So.
All right. There it is, your classic system of the month, the Sharp X68000. Good pick, Dark Sakura. I didn't really know a lot about that system. But
thank you.
It looks really, really cool.
I mean, just looking at the video, it's looking like arcade versions. All right. Would be just, it's on my list. I would need new underwear for that system.
All right. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we have plenty more show. We're going to get into rapid fire news, your email, and I promise a list tonight. So we're already 2 hours in. So we're going to try to get through our break here and get back to part B so we can give you some more show here to hold you over since this has got to last you 2 weeks. So we'll be back after a quick break with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live here on November 5th with episode number 706 of our show, already in progress. Probably going to be a little bit of a longer show tonight, but seeing as we didn't have a show last week, we don't have one next week, I guess we got to give you a nice long show to...
We're making up for it.
Hold you over, make up for it a little bit. Quickly, before we get into rapid-fire news, did I hear you right, Loki, during the break or before the break, you picked up the Animal Crossing ape, like, I guess, did you go on the dark web and figure out how to get Animal Crossing?
Yes, the dark web of Google, yes.
Oh, is that on? Okay.
Yeah, you just do a search for Animal Crossing Pocket, whatever, APK, and there it is.
It's just that easy. So you're checking it out now? What do you think?
It's Animal Crossing.
And there it is.
Print that on the back of the box.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd play it very long. But
you haven't had enough time to really...
It looks okay.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news. Loki.
All right, so PlayStation Plus, they announced what games are coming out in November. I am sorely disappointed because I actually own all these, at least the VR games. But you get Worms Battleground on PlayStation 4. I guess I don't have that. Bound, which is an all right PlayStation VR, PlayStation 4 game. The one, though, I do recommend, and really there's no reason you shouldn't have this if you have a PlayStation VR, but Until Dawn Rush of Blood is free, and that's just seriously one of the best games on the platform. So definitely check that out. That's You. It's on PlayLink. And then, of course, on PlayStation 3, R-Type Dimensions on PlayStation 3 and Ragdoll Kung Fu Fists of Plastic on PS3. Then they have, for Vita, Dungeon Punks, which is also cross-platform with PlayStation 4, and Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, Episode 1 and 2, which is on Vita. And those should be available shortly. And then, of course, another thing coming to the PlayStation VR platform as well.
Sorry, I was giving Loki theme music there. Sorry.
Is Stranger Things, the VR experience. Now, I'm not sure what exactly this is. They kind of showed a little bit of a teaser, but... it sort of resembles the, I don't know if it was a VR experience or like a 360 video that I watched for Stranger Things. They had something that was kind of tied in with like the first season of the show. It was in like Will's house and stuff, and it was all right if that's the same thing. I hope it's more to that because I would like something a little bit more elaborate, but I'm thinking it may just be that because that was available on the mobile VR platforms not too long ago.
Right.
But we'll see. Hopefully it's something more, you know, exciting.
All right. Well, guess what the modders are up to recently? They're still playing with Super Mario 64. This time it's not about that multiplayer thing that got the other Mario thing shut down, but this time it looks like somebody has put a portal gun into Super Mario 64. This was by modder Kaze Emanuar, who did a video called Portal Mario 64, which of course you can download right now before Nintendo shuts it down, and you can do the portal mechanic from Portal with Super Mario 64. I mean, need I say more about that?
So, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does sound awesome.
I just add that with the multiplayer.
Why not both?
Craziness. Yes, why not both?
Why not both? Portal your friends. I think we talked about this console not that long ago, but it's the Super Retrobit Micro console. I think they had a regular version of this that was kind of amp, but now they have a new one coming out, and it was going to be Capcom and Data East titles like Strider, Final Fight, Joe and Mac. Well, they also kind of teased it with "and more to come," right? Well, now we figured out what the more is. Technos is the next publisher from the classic days that is going to be contributing to this, which means Double Dragon will be coming to this, as well as Combat Tribes and Renegade. So there it is, $60 for the console, which I guess is coming out later this year. That's kind of neat. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, I guess kind of sadness, except he's doing it on... Why didn't it open? Sorry, I just had a slight technical difficulty because it tried to open the RSS version. Yay! Anyway, the producer of Danganronpa, Saito Yuichiro, is leaving Spike Chunsoft. Basically, he said as of the end of October, he's resigned. And they did a Danganronpa surprise farewell party for him. And he's going to be doing console games for a different world, he said. And he's also wearing he's wearing Doraemon pajamas because he's also a big Doraemon fan, which I think is funny because the original voice actor for Monokuma was also Doraemon back in the day. So pretty cool. Although here she's not doing very well, so very sad. And then an Easter egg in Assassin's Creed. Because they like the ass. is the TARDIS. So basically, if you're in Letopolis, going through ancient Egypt, under the water, you will see a stone TARDIS. It is very clearly the TARDIS as well. So the doctor was here. And that's it.
All right. Let's travel around and check out what is in stores this week at a store near you, starting with Loki.
So this week we have Farming Simulator, the Nintendo Switch edition, coming to, of course, the Nintendo Switch. Neo on PC. Sonic Forces on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Hopefully that doesn't suck, but I'm afraid it might. Super Lucky's Tales on PC and Xbox One. Ace of Seafood on PlayStation 4. Doom on the Nintendo Switch. Football Manager on PC, Mac, and Linux. Mario Party, the top 100 on 3DS. And Need for Speed Payback on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right, well, let's travel to Japan, everybody in the plane right now, and check out the releases over there, including on November 9th. Hey, that DJ Max Respect gets its Japanese release. I was wondering when that was going to happen. So DJ Max Respect gets its release in Japan on November the 9th. I wonder if we'll get that in the U.S. at some point on the PlayStation 4. Also coming out in Japan, Sonic Forces, Occultic 9 in a regular and limited edition, as well as Sudden Strike 4. And lastly, Taihehu no Arashi, Shijo Saidai no Gekisen Normandy Kobusen comes out from System Soft. And that is some type of tanks and war sim type games. I think that's kind of in the vein of Nobunaga's ambition. Let's see if there's anything on the Vita this week. Yeah, that Occultic 9 is in a regular and limited edition on the Vita as well this week. And checking out the Switch this week, Sonic Forces gets its Japanese release as well on the 9th. Shin Sangoku Musou 7 Empires as well on the 9th. And Musou Orochi 2 Ultimate and Monopoly for the Nintendo Switch also coming out in Japan. Lastly, on the 3DS this week, some new Amiibo makes its way out to Japan, but I don't think we really have any major releases in Japan this week. One minor one, Cake Yasen Monogatari Oishi Sweet Wo Sukoru comes out this week. Which
oh my
is
god,
type
I want to play a cake game.
It's a cake game. It's a cake baking game.
It's like Legend of Cake or something like that.
Yeah, maybe it's like Iron Chef, but with cakes.
I want to be the ultimate pâtissier.
I want to be the ultimate cake eater. Anyway, it's probably quiet this week because next week there's a little game coming out in Japan called, it's actually two of them, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And I think there'll be a lot of people excited about that on the 3DS. All right, how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have on the 7th, Super Lucky's Tale on PC and the Bone. Sorry, the X-Bone. And god damn it, it's doing it again. Okay. And then on the 10th, Football Manager 2018. And that's it. It. All.
All right.
Over.
But we have to go to the mailbag. We're not done hearing from Dark Soccer just yet. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and Dark Soccer dives in the mailbag head first and finds some emails worth our time reading on the show. Although, with weeks and weeks and weeks of no show, I'm surely we've been flooded with emails, right,
one.
Dark Soccer? One stinking email. Let's get to it.
Hello, LR.
Hi.
Hi, YYR. You're the only one who starts it that way. After the continued discussion last week on free-to-play style monetizations and loot boxes being present in AAA games nowadays, and about the potential reasons why, I felt a need to chime in because something about this seems a bit familiar to me. Throughout my life, I've spent a lot of time in arcades, but I started talking to owners and operators when I was in college. Back then in 1999, I remember the operator of Naladdin's Castle asking me, "What do you think the biggest earning game in this place is?" Tekken Tag Tournament was hugely popular upon its release. I was one of probably at least a dozen players who played it every weekend. So that was my guess, but that wasn't the answer. I was shocked when this man said to me, "It's that coin pusher over there." Just a few years ago, I owned a DJ Maxx Technica cabinet and made a deal with the owner of an arcade in Queens to host it there and split the revenues. I love the fact that he also had several other fantastic hardcore games, such as DDRX2, the latest Beatmania 2DX and Poppin' Music, plus an Initial D, Maximum Tune, Tekken 6, and others. But he conveyed to me a sad truth. The loyal crowd of hardcore players, the ones that kept coming back to play these games over and over again, were not nearly enough to keep his doors open. The casual players that fed his ticket redemption and prize games were a far greater source of income. Backing up this theory even further is the story of Nanuet Arcade, which opened in fall 2014 and was filled to the brim with over 50 arcade games spanning all eras and genre. Plus a number of pinball tables, but absolutely no ticket redemption at all. When I visited, it felt like someone's dream arcade, but with no redemption, I wondered about its long-term viability. As it turned out, it closed forever just a few days before its first birthday. So what does this have to do with loot boxes and console games? Here it is. Think back to a generation or two. Every time a movie came out, there were console and handheld games to match. You had games for kids, games based on Disney properties, game for casuals, games for families. This is all because you had millions upon millions of casual console gamers. Where are they now? The answer is simple, poking away at phones and tablets. According to a statistics site, around 69 million of the most popular game consoles and handhelds were sold worldwide in 2011. By 2016, this figure shrank to around 27 million. That's a drop of more than 50%. The same sites claim that within the U.S., overall dollar sales of consoles and handheld video games dropped about 50% between 2009 and 2015, with spending on social media-based and mobile games more than doubling over that same period. Over the last few years, our hardware has progressed. AAA games look better than ever. Budgets have fattened. development team sizes have increased, and even worse, market competition has exploded. And yet the casual audience who used to generate half the revenue has all but vanished from the arcade of the modern gaming market. How can the hardcore keep the doors open? Since we don't have real redemption games, we substitute the next best thing, loot boxes. Quite honestly, I think we're seeing the beginning of a huge market shakeup, one that will see the larger game developers and publishers needing to make massive changes just to keep their doors open. Except for Nintendo, because they're Nintendo. I guess we'll see. Keeping the discussion going, YYR.
I don't know if there's a lot I can add to this email. It's a really good perspective on things. You know, I obviously, it just goes to show that where people spend money are where the arcade operators are going to go. Like, you know, we can sit here and mourn the loss of arcades, but the reason why they put the redemption machines in there, because they make money. Simple truth. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other stuff wasn't really making money. And I think we used to kind of say, well, that's probably because, you know, Xbox Live and the fact that games at home started getting better and better, right? When we were talking about the classic system of the week, of the month this week, we talked. You were mentioning that the games looked as good as they did in the arcades, and that was the early 90s.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the beginning of the end, which is why we don't have things like Flynn's Arcade anymore, because you can get a lot of those similar experiences at home. But that also kind of goes, I think, for the arcades to kind of do a soul searching a little bit. You know, what does seem to be doing well in arcades right now? Well, shit, it's kind of come full circle. They're stealing a lot of the ideas from mobile. These loyalty cards that unlock new characters or new cards or new songs in Bomani games through EMUs, or, you know, the similar stuff in Square Enix's Theatrhythm and those types of games. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I see a lot of that stuff kind of selling at round one. So it is kind of interesting how a lot of that stuff does seem to be coming full circle in a way. But round one is also, I mean, for all the fucking import games we talk about and how it feels great to be at an arcade that really feels like the arcades that we used to go to in our 20s, like, round one is also well over half redemption games. And there's so many freaking Crane games.
Well, and on top of that, too, you know, I think that the arcades that are really the ones that are thriving are the ones that have the right balance between the redemption. Like, remember when we went to round one? I think half the time was spent on the Bimani, and the other half was spent on those claws.
Not me. That's you.
That was me. Well, okay, that was me.
You're the claw addict, but
you know I love those things. Yeah, and I got a really crappy looking... No, I got the Blooper, and I got a Yoshi.
You can spend your money on whatever the fuck you like.
But I think that it's also, I think, the concept that the average person who... People like to get something. That's another thought that I have about it. People like to have either some kind of tangible or quantifiable result for the time that they've spent doing something. It's not just the joy of playing anymore. They want something for it. People have this competitive nature, and they want to see something for their efforts.
SSO and Hunter Matt points out barcades seem to be doing well. That's true. All you have to do is just add booze. You know, every city's got one of these at this point. But that strikes to me more as like games aren't the feature at these places. I'm sorry to say. Games are the niche for the bar. Some bars have music, certain types of music. Some bars have really lush seating or food. Some bars have arcade machines.
And those are the best ones.
Yeah, those are the ones we like, but maybe there's some people that like to go to this other bar because they do sports. Every single Sacramento Kings game is on all the time at this bar. You know, maybe that's another niche. Who knows? Anyway, so. All right, well, thank you for the email, YYR. It is an interesting perspective. I don't know if I would directly relate redemption games to loot boxes, but I do see where you're going, and I do kind of think the industry is a bit of a circle in that regard.
Well, it's,
so there is that.
It's like gambling, I guess. So it's similar to kind of the whole coin pusher games and stuff. I mean, because that's really what the loot boxes are. You're gambling to see if you're going to get more out of that than you put into it. And I guess even with the redemption stuff on top of that, you're kind of earning tickets to purchase something that you want, which, of course, all the things that they have in the redemption case are worth like nothing. So unless, of course, it's Dave and Buster's.
When I worked at an Aladdin's Castle, I would save all the little tickets that kids would leave in the machines, and I would put them in. I had this like secret pouch in my purse, and I turned them in before I left and got a Polaroid camera and several Tekken 3 shirts.
Nice.
That were like only the ones that they gave at the Namco arcades. So you can get some good stuff if you take your time.
Yeah. All right. You know, you guys have been very well behaved, and we feel bad for missing last week's show. So you know what? I think tonight we need to bring back a segment that we haven't done in a very long time, and that segment is Listless. But I do have one small change. You see, the old theme song we used to use for Listless, that now gets our episodes flagged on YouTube for copyright infringement. So I'm going to have to change the song that we use. So I'm very sorry to Crystal Waters, but blame your music label people for content IDing at the drop of a hat. So I accidentally let this sneak out a little bit earlier, but I thought a new theme we could use for Listless is Listless, 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 Listless.
Sure, this won't get us flagged either.
Eh, it might, but it would be worth it. Okay, so here we go. Tonight's list. I'm sure you're all dying to know the topic since we haven't done this in forever. Well, since we had that news story about Just Dance becoming a live experience, to which Loki at quite some length discussed here on the show, we thought, well, then if that's the case, which video game should become a live experience? So tonight, we will be building the definitive list here. Which video game needs a live experience? All right? So you can participate with us over at live.vognetwork.com. And God, I haven't done this segment in forever, so I hope the list works right. But you should see the question pop up there on the page, as well as our four contestants tonight. So we haven't done Listless in a while, so this is how it works, okay? By the way, it's not list. It's Listless, Elliot. It's a little play on words. But anyway, so with Listless, what's going to happen is that we're going to put together the definitive list. There, it's a very scientific process. There's no argument. So each host and a special guest will bring a list of three to the table. And then one by one, we're going to go around and determine which item is not worthy of the list. So we'll take a list of 12 items and bring it down to a list of 8 items, at which point you guys will vote in our chat. You're going to click on your number one and your two answers in that order, submit them in over at live.vognetwork.com, and we will build the definitive list to which there is no arguing. It's done.
And of course, you know, we should talk about, you know, the whole elimination part of that as well.
Oh, yeah. The whole twist where we made it so that if a host has two answers eliminated from their list, the third gets immunity and cannot be eliminated. Because unfortunately, we had some issues in the past where somebody's list just totally got eliminated. And that was sad. So anyway, joining us tonight, a very special guest who you hear sometimes on the show. Alan is joining us tonight. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Quickly, what games have you been playing lately?
Elder Scrolls Morrowind, like OG, not the online one, the expansion. Lots of Overwatch. A lot of Overwatch. And then this phone game.
We don't care about phone games. All right. what would you say, Alan, if I came to you and I said, Alan, I want to spend $45 to go to a Just Dance live concert?
I'd be like, who's headlining? And don't you know someone that can get you in just because of your hookups?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so sure. Don't you know? Yeah. You know how, you know what? How long have you known me, Alan? Has this show ever got me anything for free?
Free tater tots at Arby's?
I'll take it. Hey, tater tots are awesome. All right. So here we go, and by the way, if you guys have some answers, you can yell them out in chat. They're already doing it. Which video game needs a live experience? I already see some really good answers there in our chat room. So let's get to it. Let's start building the list. Alan, we're going to let our guest go first tonight. What is your number three answer for which video game needs to be a live experience?
Showering with your dad.
Shower with your dad simulator, I believe it's the name of the game. And why did you pick this?
Because it's fucking funny.
All right, there it is. It has been added to the list. Dark Sakura, what is going to be your number three pick?
I was thinking in terms of games. So I think Farmville Real Life, where you get just like regular casual people who've never been to a farm and they have to fucking farm.
So Farmville is your answer, essentially, is the game that needs to be...
Farmville IRL.
Okay, Farmville IRL. And you said Farmville, it's almost in a way, it sounds like kind of like a sick dystopian future where like there are no more farms.
It's like being Zsa Zsa Gabor. in Green Acres.
I was trying to go with like that futuristic, like sad approach.
No, I'm thinking Zsa Zsa Gabor, who has no concept of what to do on a fucking farm.
Okay. What
was it, Zsa Zsa or Ava?
It was Ava. Ava Gabor was
okay. One of them. It was a Gabor.
All right. My number three answer. What item am I going to pick? For my number three answer, I decided that the experience that needed a live event was Civilization. Yeah, Civilization would be a live event, and you can actually rule the world and nuke Gandhi right back. There you go. Civilization. It's on the list. Loki, your number three answer for what video game needs a live experience.
The problem I have with, like, the Just Dance one was there's really no point to it because you're basically going to watch people dressed up like artists that's, you know, perform songs, but they aren't the artists that perform the songs, and they're not really performing the songs. They're just dancing. So an actual game that would be, like, performing music that I thought was pretty awesome is DJ Hero. So I would totally see a live performance of DJ Hero stuff with actual DJs mashing songs together.
So basically Activision's E3 press conference from that year, like touring the country. kind of.
But you have like Daft Punk and, you know, dead mouse and stuff like that. I mean, it'd be pretty awesome.
No, I get it. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. All right. Well, I'll get to the answers before the last answer. We'll get to our answers from chat. But let's see. Maybe some of us will steal them and put them on the list. For now, the number two answer from Alan.
Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami. And why are you picking Hotline Miami?
Because that is the dystopian future. Listen to this awesome music. You're going to fucking die. Oh, shotgun to the face. You're dead.
Wait, are you actually killing people at the Hotline Miami live experience?
No, it would be like the one of those, the Universal Studios things that's like super realistic, where it's like, don't pay $50 to have us jump at you and then punch us in the fucking face, or don't go in if you have a heart condition. One of those.
Okay, like the scare events or something. Fright Night or something like that. All right. Hotline Miami. Did I marry you for real? Your answers are kind of disturbing. Number two answer is Hotline Miami. Dark Soccer, your number two answer.
I was going to say actually something along the lines of Call of Duty, where it's basically either like a laser tag or paintball, but okay, they set up like recreations of like maps, and then you pay to get in and play the maps.
They actually have that.
But, you know,
do they really?
They do. They did it for one of the Call of Duties. Yeah, they actually set up a map, and they did. It was Airsoft.
But does it tour?
No.
There you go. So what am I calling this? Call of Duty?
IRL.
IRL. Just like your Farmville, which I need to add.
Farmville IRL.
Call of Duty in real life. Well,
I would hope most of this would be IRL. All right. Dark Tetsuya says that would be kind of cool. So you have at least one paying customer. There you go. All right. My number two answer is just make Blizzard World real. Just everybody lost their shit at that press conference when Blizzard showed that as the new Overwatch map. So my answer is just make Blizzard World real. Just if you build it, they will come. Just do it. But not in China. Do it here. No offense to China, but we need one here for the U.S. income and all that good stuff, or at least our friends in Canada. All right, just build Blizzard World IRL. Loki, your turn. Your number two answer.
Splatoon.
Oh, that's a good answer. Why did you say Splatoon?
Because it's just like paintball, except you're shooting in the walls and everything, and it would be really messy. And I at least see people playing that. People like doing the Tough Mud or stuff where they're covered in mud. So what about paint?
Splatoon 5K.
Yes. Or well, you could do like the Splatfest or something like that. And then, no, I'm not going to go there because I was going to say covered in ketchup and
no, other condoms. No. All right, here is the list as it stands so far. Shower with Your Dad Simulator, Hotline Miami, Farmville IRL, Call of Duty IRL, Civilization, Just Make Blizzard World Real, DJ Hero, and Splatoon. Here we go. It's time for our number one answers, and then we get to the hard part where we eliminate answers. So here we go. Over to Alan. What is your number one answer for video game that they need to make a live experience?
Valve Studio presents the number three.
And what would happen at Valve Studio presents the number three?
they would have a Half-Life Episode 3 area, and they would have a Half-Life 3 area, and they would have a Left 4 Dead 3 area.
And this would be the only place you could actually ever play these games.
Yeah, and they'd have three Gabe Newells just fucking... You give him your money, and he just fucking laughs. There's three of them, these laughs. Big belly laughs.
All right, Valve presents the number three not live. All right, it's on the list for now. Dark Sakura, what is your number one answer?
Sims the Tour. Where basically you have to be in a Sims environment and can't do anything until someone controlling you tells you can.
I can't get out of this pool. I'm going to drown in
here.
Or
like you can't.
I really need to use the bathroom.
If they don't let you pee, then you have to pee your pants.
That's not
and
fun.
Wear really horrible clothing.
And you can only speak Simlish.
Me. Wab wee wab booba.
And Katy Perry's there doing a concert in Simlish.
Yeah.
Because she had that song that was in Simlish, which was ridiculous.
But it was funny.
Right. We're almost there to the end of the list. Here it is. JD in chat says, so the power exchange? I don't know if that's to that or one of the chat answers. But anyway, my number one answer on top of the list, I'm going to go, you know, here at OLR, we have to respect the classics, right? So I'm going to go with one of the all-time classics here at Orange Lounge Radio. In fact, I would bet many of you don't even fucking know this game if it wasn't for Orange Lounge Radio. But at one time, it was so noteworthy. It was our classic game of the week. And I think it's time to bring back the 21-year anniversary tour of Miss Nude World 96.
Lord.
Everybody, move your body.
Isn't like Miss Nude World like an actual event, though? I mean.
But does it tour?
Maybe. I don't know.
Will it be in your city? All right. We are just about to the final answer on the list. But first, let's hear from our chat room. Let's see some of the chatter answers that we have here. Let's see. SSJ100 Matt says Pixel Shits. Brad from Pog Culture says BMX XXX. Ragenator says Seaman. Dungeon Buster says Night Trap. JD suggests Hotiful Boyfriend. Katamari Damacy. Ragenator says Pixel Shits. SSJ100 Matt says Custer's Revenge. Seek therapy. Dungeon Buster says Streets of Rage 3. Someone gets to be the kangaroo.
Who the fuck said Custer's Revenge?
SSJ100 Matt.
No, that's not fucking cool.
Yeah, no, that's why I said seek therapy. Smack. You hit enter without thinking. Ragenator says, my number one is genital jousting. And Dark Tetsuya said, was it Rabbids or Rayman? I think it was on the list. So there you go. All right. But those are what the chatters said. Loki, what did you say?
You know, I was going to go with... Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, but being that we have Miss New World on there, I probably won't do that. So, no, I'm still going to go with Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball because of all the obvious reasons.
There, say
that's
no
worth $45
more.
Right there.
Say no more. That's just the Olympics. All right.
It's like the Olympics. It's like the XFL of the Olympics.
Here is the list as it stands. Shower with Your Dad Simulator, Hotline Miami, Valve Presents the Number 3 Live, Farmville IRL, Call of Duty IRL, Sims the Tour, Civilization, Just Make Blizzard World Real, Miss Nude World 96, DJ Hero Splatoon, DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. Now it's tough, but it's part of the process. Alan, you got to go first. Which of these is not worthy of the list?
I don't want to be mean and get rid of anyone's. I feel that... God damn it. Can I do one of my own?
I don't know if we've ever had that happen before. Can a host take one of their own off the list?
Sure.
All right, why not? Sure. Yes, a host can take their own item off the list.
Half-Life or the Valve 3 thing.
Damn it, that's what I was going to pick.
All right, why are we eliminating Valve the number 3?
Because it's not a game. It was just me making fun of Valve.
I was going to say, because you could go there and there'd be nothing there because they don't produce a number 3 of anything.
All right. So in an OLR first, Alan has taken his own item off the list. Valve Presents, the number three, is stricken from the list. Dark Sakura, what? Which of these is not worthy of the list?
Sorry, Alan, I'm taking off Shower With Your Dad.
Oh, Shower With Your Dad Simulator. Poor Alan. First, well, of course he did it to himself. So there it is. That's right. Hotline Miami.
The Hotline Miami was pretty rad.
Now has immunity, but Shower With Your Dad has been stricken from the list. Ooh, my turn. What am I going to eliminate from the list? These are, like, yeah, this is a pretty good roundup of answers. Sorry, Jamie, I'm going to take one of yours. I'm doing Farmville just because, like, I think you and I have a different vision of what that would be, and...
I just think it would be hilarious to have, like, regular people have to actually do a farm.
Yeah, fair enough.
And fail.
But unfortunately, I've already clicked the button. It's gone. So, sorry, Jamie. All right, Loki, last but not least, the last one. Which of these is not worthy of the list?
I'm just going to have to take Miss Nude World 96 off there.
Oh, you bastard. Oh, why would you eliminate Miss Nude
96.
World?
It's 96. I mean, it's old. It's just...
I see. You're afraid that now it's about... Although I think that folks in their 50s can be just as fabulous, that maybe we you know, these folks that were in their prime at one point, or maybe they shouldn't be touring.
It's just, it's going to be weird with demons and, like, and just, like, old bikini models and porn stars. It's going to be, like, weird.
No, the mic. Oh, the mic. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, superficially, it's naked ladies, but if you've actually played Miss New World, if any college kids tried to go to that high, no. Like, with what Loki is saying, that's a bad time.
All right. Well, rules are rules. So that is it. It has been removed from the list, but the list is now clickable, and you guys can vote over at live.vognetwork.com for your two favorite answers. So just click your number one, your number two, and then you click the answer button. If you screw up, you're going to have to reload the page because I don't think you can undo unless we have that fixed. Anyway, here's the list as it stands. Hotline Miami, Call of Duty IRL, Sims the Tour, Civilization, Just Make Blizzard World Real, DJ Hero, Splatoon, and DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. There it is. Which video game needs a live experience?
I'm really confident of one, possibly both, that are going to win, and I could have been a dick, and I was like, that's a really good thing, so I'm going to be a dick and get rid of it. And I didn't, and I took one in the knee for myself.
You took an arrow to the knee as appropriate for a...
It's too bad, because I would have voted for the same one that you took away, so you could have actually...
All right. Well, there it is. Yes. You do have to be logged in with a VOG account. Then you can click on the purple squares. We don't sell your information. We just like to be able to tell people when we're registering for events that we do have so many registered listeners. So that's live.vognetwork.com. You do have plenty of time to vote. So if you don't get in right this second, you can vote soon in the list. I'm trying to make it a thing. It might not become a thing. We'll see. All right. In the meantime, while you guys vote on that definitive list, and some of you are hastily making accounts, we need to get to some news. We still have news to cover before we get to the Skype line. All right, Loki.
So Razer is going to make a phone, because everybody's making phones nowadays. So Razer is actually launching a phone, the Razer phone, if you will. It's launching November 17th for $700. It has a Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 chip, which all of them do nowadays, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and the world's first 120Hz ultra-motion display. And, you know, it's going to also have a 5.72-inch display, 1440 by 2560, Gorilla Glass 3, 12-megapixel rear camera, and then, of course, 8-megapixel front camera, dual. They have stereo speakers in the front, and 400mAh. Lithium ion battery. So it looks all right. I mean, considering what phones go for nowadays, you know, that price range is actually not so bad. Too bad it's not on Verizon, because that's what I have. But who says I'm going to stick with Verizon? So, yeah. Although, a gaming phone, yeah, 120 FPS. You know what that would be really good for? And I don't know if it supports it, though, VR content. But... Is this phone compatible with any of the VR platforms that are on Android? I'd be very interested to find out, because if it is, then hell yes, I'm on board.
Brad from PodCulture says the Razer phone looks kind of cool. Corky says 120 hertz isn't a new thing in portable devices. The iPad Pro has one. So, but those iPad Pros are probably a little more expensive than this device. So,
yeah, $700 for a phone. I mean, look at the Samsung Galaxy S8 and the Note 8 and any of the iPhones. I mean, that $700 is not that ridiculous as far as phone prices go.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of a little bit on the lower end.
All right. Rageinator wants to know, will the phone play Miss Nude World 96?
Yes, probably would.
I think a 486 PC can play Miss Nude World 96, to be fair. All right. Let's talk about Niantic, the company behind Pokemon Go and Ingress, which, you know, we don't know what else they're working on, but we do know they have acquired a company named Evertune. That's right. Evertune was acquired by Niantic this week, and John Hankey, the CEO of Niantic, announced this. Evertune is a recently established mobile animation app, and they're doing this to expand the social media functionality of the games. Evertune was founded in 2016, and the startup raised $1.7 million to date from a variety of publishers for their film-sharing app for social networks like YouTube or Twitter. So one could imagine that maybe there will be something where Pokemon are animated or something in a later version of Pokemon Go, but really this could be anything.
Animated emojis.
It could be something for a future game Niantic is planning that we just don't know yet.
Ingress animated emojis.
Who knows? You know, speaking of this whole like Pokemon Go and all this stuff, I didn't get into this during my gaming week, but did you know there's a knockoff game in the App Store? And usually knockoffs.
Oh, yeah, knockoff Pokemon Go game.
I know, right?
You're going to tell me there's Garfield game on there at some point, too.
But here's the thing. So the latest knockoff game is called Draconius Go, which is like dragons and stuff. And they don't have the same, like, logical layout of gyms and stuff like Pokemon Go has. But when you first look at the game, you'd be like, this game is a complete flippin' ripoff of Pokemon Go. And like, because it looks like, imagine what Pokemon Go looked like in February before they announced Gen 2, before they did the gyms. This is what Draconius Go kind of looks like at first glance. Like, it's all the same stuff. Oh, look, there's a little dragon thingy. I don't think I have this one yet on the house, so I'm going to capture that. Yes, Alan?
With the exception of the critters, it really looks like they downloaded the APK and like just unzipped it with like a dash tar whatever.
Well, it's all Unity, so they could just reverse engineer it.
So when we say it's a knockoff, it really has a lot of the actual original assets.
The layout, GUI, and everything's all
the same. Here's the reason why I bring it up. So yes, at first glance, when you play it for the first 5 minutes, you're like, this is a complete fucking ripoff of Pokemon Go. But then you start to see they added more. There's PvP in it. There's different types of ways to retrain your monsters in it. There's like these other features that Pokemon Go doesn't have. And you know what? Niantic is pissed. And I think they're going after this developer for infringement, basically. But it also kind of goes to show like, hey, these guys have added these features to the game that you guys have been kind of sitting on for months. So it's just interesting. I'm not saying if it's right or wrong or anything, but it's just an interesting development.
Well, they don't own the copyright to that type of gameplay. Granted, it looks very similar, but change up that's fine. A lawsuit that you come up with that, just change the way your game looks enough and, you know, put it out as your own thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of games that come out that people think are knockoffs of everything. Like, remember everything was like, oh, that's a Street Fighter clone. Or, oh, that's, you know, just a clone of this game. That's a Minecraft clone. And then it all becomes its own thing. I don't know.
Now I want to catch this creature because I don't have one yet. There's one of the creatures is called a potty, and that made me laugh because it's an actual little fire pot.
Oh, I was thinking it was a potty.
I know, but I laughed because of the name. It does make you think of that. Anyway, there you go. So I don't want to give this game too much credit, but I thought it was interesting that they've kind of taken the template for Pokemon Go and added a ton of shit to it, and I'm sure Niantic ain't happy about it. So there you go.
Boo fucking who? Add some fucking features to it and maybe fix some of the hacking problems.
Yeah, little competition may help. Who knows? We'll see. All right, let's move on. We have some more news. Dark Sakura.
Well, I'm still super excited about Dragon Ball FighterZ, even though the story mode is going to be fucking bizarre. Basically, you're playing Quantum Leap. You are showing up in the bodies of these different Dragon Ball characters to try to go through the story, and you've got this other artificial human who is talking about eating you, like legit food. Like, she says that everyone's tasty. But, like, at the start of the trailer, it's like you wake up and you're in Goku's body. And it's really bizarre. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. The trailer looked really neat, though. It's such a pretty game. I'm so excited. And honestly enough, it is rendered in-game, but it looks like real animation. And that's what I'm super impressed by. So, super excited. It needs to, oh, and it's going to be, of course, out, I think, January 2018? Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, how long is the wait for this game? Cause,
sorry, January 26th.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah, so not bad. Excitement. Don't kill spiders.
I have to. It was looking
just
at me.
Just catch it and take it outside.
It's sizing me up to eat me up.
Just take it. I got one out of my bed and took it outside. It was a cute little wolf spider. Rob.
Gross.
They eat mosquitoes.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's go to a couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line briefly. We're running a little long tonight, so we can't take too many calls. We'll open up the Skype line briefly. But first, Loki.
All right. So this is a game that I've been interested to see a localization for, but they've never done it. So Captain Rainbow has a fan translation for the game because it was originally only released in Japan, and that's kind of where it ended there. But you can actually check it out now. So they have, it's a patch made by a guy who goes by Mark Ass. That's right. And he basically combines the works of his translation group, Kurameki, along with his stuff as well. So now it's almost 100% complete, but there's still a few things missing. But it should be enough to at least play the game.
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
Enough to get you through. All right, this is the last chance to submit listless votes. It will be closing shortly, so if you have not submitted your listless votes tonight, make sure you get to live.vognetwork.com and get those votes in. Last call. Meanwhile, one more story for you guys tonight, and that is that something's going on with Konami because they're acting kind of shitty to their composer teams that create the music in Bamani games. Obviously, things like Beatmania, DDR, and even the newer stuff like Musica and Sound Voltix and stuff would be nothing if it wasn't for the actual music in the games. But what's interesting about it is that now these songs in the game are being attributed to Bamani Sound Team. That's right. So we don't see, the actual creator of the songs anymore. It's just attributed to Bamani Sound Team. So, some folks are theorizing that this could go back to a dispute about how there's a record label called Beat Nation Records that came out about a decade ago. And this has led to live concerts and soundtrack CDs and so on. And Konami may actually be a little bit afraid of this. So they want to control their artists very well. I don't know.
That sounds like a very BuzzFeed thing to do.
Well, and it's just kind of just add that to the list of grievances we have with Konami. And ask Atari how well that went back in the 2600 days with not crediting your creators and what happened as a cause of that.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is we got Activision, which made better games for Atari's own platform.
So
anyway, there you go. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that, but just...
I'm not surprised considering the source.
Yeah, add this to the list of Konami grievances, shall we? All right, before we get to
those bastards.
Before we get to the Skype line, which we are about ready to open up, Dark Soccer has requested that we bring back another segment we haven't done in a while, and it's something we can do on demand. But it's the FUs of the week.
Yes. My FU goes to people who don't respect the word stop, especially when the person who is requesting that you stop happens to be autistic. Usually we're going to tell you to stop something if it's necessary, or else if we don't say anything, it's going to be very ugly. So when someone says, I don't want to do this anymore, fucking respect them. That's it.
I'm going to pass because I'll subtweet something and put my foot in my mouth. So, Loki, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I'm going to say an FU to the people that were driving in front of me on the way to the show today. They were driving 20 miles an hour in a 35. What the hell? Come on, people. I get it. You're old, but Jesus Christ, man. too close to the speed limit.
A good old fashioned FU to bad drivers. It's
a slow driver. Yeah, there's bad drivers everywhere. People changing lanes. People suck.
All right. I think it's time to close up the list and see what the actual results were here, which I think I have to keep this answerable, but not live. I think was the way I do this. I have to remember this here. It's a tricky thing here. All right. So here it is. The actual results from the list, the scientific process. You ready? The number three answer, video game that most needs to be a live experience. Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball is the number three answer. The number two answer tonight, this is the one I thought would win. Splatoon was the number two answer tonight. I thought that would be the winner. Splatoon was the number two. And last but not least, the number one thing you want to see a live experience of. Just make Blizzard World real. Just make it happen.
Can it tour?
It could. If you built it modularly, it could.
It'd be like a giant technodrome of it Blizzard.
Just narrowly missing the list, Sims the Tour. People were into that, but fourth place for Sims the Tour. And Hotline Miami, I think, only got a couple votes. Poor Alan. So there you go. There it is. Your extreme Splat Blizzard World list. There it is. All right. What do you say we open up the phones, take some calls? Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get in for tonight. Otherwise, let me check in real quick with my co-host and see if there's any last-minute stories while we wait to see if anyone calls. Oh, there it is. It's lighting up. And again, it's lighting up on the computer when my – I don't get it. Anyway, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. If you can hear us, we can't hear you. I thought I heard. Hello? I thought I heard a little rustle or something. All right, well, I don't think it works, so you have to try calling back. Test your connection with Echo 123. That's somebody who calls a lot, though, so I'm surprised it's not working. I wonder if it's something about my computer, but I thought I heard like a little rustle in the background or something. So.
Well, I had a computer for you, then dumbass me had to, instead of... Microsoft in their confusing language, system refresh or system restore. So I did system restore back to factory settings, which dropped it from Windows 10 to Windows 8.
Don't.
But if I did a system refresh, it would have kept Windows 10.
Thanks to a very good friend, I have a code for Windows 10 actually sitting in my repository because it was supposed to be for if a new computer.
Perfect.
Yeah. So there, I might have to look into that. I could still play with Windows 8 on that laptop, though.
For the record, we'll you can get a code under their accessibility plan still.
Oh, really?
Still going on. If you have a legit install of Windows 7, you can upgrade it to Windows 10 under the accessibility plan.
Huh. All right, I'm going to look into that. We'll see. All right. Meanwhile, I'm going to see if anybody else wants to call us. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Let me check in any last-minute stories.
No.
Not really. I guess we have had a lot of stories tonight. But let's see. Okay, that person's calling back. Let's see if it'll work this time. Trying to get in here on the Skype line. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello? I can hear the chair. Hello? That's so weird. Okay. I don't know what's going on.
Skype being stupid.
I guess. Wait, let me check here. Okay, so we're going to try this. And I'm going to call out this way. Good old
Hello.
Live radio.
Welcome to Skype call testing, sir.
Yeah, that works fine. So, I don't know. I just can't hear
well,
that.
Well, you have
particular.
A last-minute story since we were taking some time.
Oh, good.
So there is a mod that someone's making, or I should say like an actual game. It's called Castlevania Symon's Destiny. It is a first-person shooter Castlevania game done in the style of the old NES Castlevania games, built on top of the Doom engine, and it looks awesome.
Interesting, because at first point you go Castlevania first-person, I go, oh great, Castlevania 64.
No, it's got like all the like you know 16-bit looking stuff, that's and it's cool. Out now
for the great price of free. Because it's
so yeah, the great price of free. If you want to download it, you can go to the ZDoom forum. I guess it's forum.zdoom.org. And you'll need GZ Doom to be able to play it.
All right, we're going to give this one more call because it sent me a private message saying it's fixed. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What was my bad? I muted my entire sound system while I was gone for the whole weekend and did not realize I was trying to call you guys.
That's okay. It's just, you know, the joys of live radio. Well, what's on your mind, my friend?
Okay, first of all, hi, I'm Ron. Well, y'all probably know me by now, but...
I would hope so.
Yeah. As I'm coming back from my amazing trip this weekend and listening to you guys on TuneIn Radio, I want to call an objection on one of the titles on List List.
Yes.
DJ Hero.
Okay, why are we objecting to DJ Hero?
You don't need to make that to a live experience. That's what a rave is for. They still have those.
Well, isn't that kind of what we were joking that the Just Dance thing basically is that the Just Dance is going to be a rave for kids?
More or less, but I think it's going to be more like the Just Dance. They're going to be on stage dancing, and the kids will be watching. They'll have like a special VIP area where they can dance. Sort of like when you go to a Weird Al concert.
But you're still like performing music, though, like actual DJs mixing actual songs together, not just like playing one track to the next, but like actually doing live mashups and stuff. That's actually talent versus some dumbasses dressed up like the artists that originally sang those tracks, but not quite, and then dancing to pre-recorded music.
So what Jason did on The Good Place for a short time, not to spoil anything, but basically that, right? So you could, I think Rama's point is that does, I mean, to be fair, it does kind of exist in some clubs.
I do love Janet's Rebound.
I know. Don't spoil.
I'm not spoiling it.
All right. Anyway, JD in chat points out there's an event called Booty in SF. That's really what it's called. I've heard of this. It's a mashup party. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. they talk about that. So I can kind of see where Rama's coming from, saying that event sort of already exists. But to be fair to Loki's, there is nothing under that video game brand. Perhaps there could be some of that AAA talent that comes in, although fat chance. But you never know. I mean, there was that legendary press conference year. What year was it? Was it 2010? So whenever those games were announced, like they had some major talent at the Staples
Center.
Yeah,
it was.
It's like all these like Eminem, Rihanna, yeah, and all these people like under one roof performing for these games. I mean, Activision probably paid a ton of money for it, but didn't Bobby go to that? I know some people I knew went to that. I can't remember if Bobby was one of them or not. I didn't. It was one of the years I didn't go. So, but there you go, Rama. I guess that's our rebuttal, although it's a fair perspective. You're right. Some of that same stuff kind of already exists out there.
Yeah. And on the plus side, they don't have to worry about the cops coming in to break up the rave.
That is true. Hey, Rama, before we let you go, you said you were on a great trip this weekend. Is that something for Anime Jam Session this week? Was it a convention or?
No, this was something more like me personal. It's me just getting away for a while. Just kind of like my time to relax and recharge and get back into the game.
Eat, pray, beer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Works. What, Logie?
Oh, I just got another last minute.
All right. Well, Rama, we're going to let you go then. I'm glad to hear you had a good trip, and we'll check in with you again.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Take care, all y'all.
Bye. All right. What'd you have for us, Logie? Last chance to get in.
So there's going to be a new rewards thing for Sony Rewards now through the PlayStation Network. So guess what? Now those trophies that you're earning, they're actually worth something.
Oh.
So basically, you can earn some of the PlayStation points. They can be redeemed for like PlayStation Network vouchers and other things. So here's how it works. So you can get, when you have 100 silver trophies, you can get 100 points, or 1 point per trophy, 25 gold trophies for 250 points, or 10 platinum trophies for 1,000 points.
Huh.
So, and you can like earn those. I guess that's available through the service. So go in there. If you've got some trophies, you can get some free points.
All right. Interesting how that stuff is making rewards in the real world. I wonder if we'll hear more about that at PSX. That would be very interesting. But anyway, I notice our phone is not lighting up, so I think that's going to do it for the Skype line tonight, which means our show has about come to an end. How sad. But I want to thank you guys for listening to our show tonight and helping it be a success. If you guys enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight, don't forget to tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't put those voices out there if they're not here to call in and send us emails and participate on Discord and chat and all the places where we try to get your voices in on the show. And vote in Listless. They were not a part of that scientific process. Maybe something else, maybe Hotline Miami would have won if more of you would have voted for it. So anyway, tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review wherever you heard about this show, especially iTunes, places like that. Those go a long, long way. I really can't underestimate that. So please, please consider leaving us a nice review, especially the kinds that have words with it too, that are like, you know, yay, OLR is great, Jamie is rad, Rob is cool. Like, those are, Loki's okay. Like, those reviews are great too. So anyway, that's it. We got to go around and get everybody's final thoughts, I suppose. We will not be here next week. It's a pre-planned absence. Thank you to everyone who has served in the armed forces. It is Veterans Day coming up after all, which is why we have a long weekend. So thank you to everyone who has served, who lets us have the right to have this show and say whatever the fuck we want on it. Appreciate that. So thank you. But we will be off next weekend. We'll be back in 2 weeks on 19 November to do this all over again. In the meantime, final thoughts. Dark Soccer, we'll start with you. Ladies first.
Things are happening. I'm not going to tell anybody what these things are unless you talk to me. So talk to me.
What's happening? Just kidding.
Things.
All right. I got you. All right. My final thought tonight is pizza. And, I want to say kudos to everybody that's been streaming for Extra Life this weekend. We didn't really talk about that on tonight's show, but I know a lot of that's still going on. But I had friends and folks that were participating in that, so I just wanted to give snaps to all you that were participating, donating, and making that a thing. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I'm hopefully going to actually play some games this week.
You say that every week.
I know I do, but
you got 2 weeks.
I've got the controllers charged now, so
hopefully. Oh, shit, that's going to make all the difference.
It's like, you know, there's Stranger Things that was, you know.
No, it's why I didn't touch Mario Odyssey right away and why I still haven't beaten it.
I would love to get Mario Odyssey, just don't have the money drop on the system at the moment. Can't justify it.
All right, we'll be back in 14 days on 19 November to do it all again. Until then, support indie podcasting. Go check out some of our friends here at the Voice Geeks Network. If you miss gaming shows next week, try Bobby Blackwolf, try Game Buoy, Electric Sisterhood. I was listening to their recent episode. They're always a delight to listen to. So, or any of our great podcasts here at the Voice Geeks Network, or anywhere on any network or non-network, just support indie podcasting because we love you. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.